Okay. Let's start with this. PLD Inc., makers of the million-selling Dando, brings you the latest in Pretty Little Dan gratification. Introducing the Dando Asmo. Experience the pleasure of ATM with the prettiest little runt that ever lived. Regular ATM is cumbersome and tiring. Wouldn't you like it if Dan's pretty little mouth was a little closer to his pretty little boo-boo? Well, wish no more. That's right. We folded Dan in half to make ATM with PLD easy as ABC. Enjoy the convenience of a 6-inch gap in between Dan's succulent bubble butt and his soft and feminine lips. The Dando Asmo also features the newest innovation from PLD Inc., the Auto Lube. With the Auto Lube, you can pump Dan's luscious moneymaker until you collapse from exhaustion. The Dando Asmo makes the perfect gift. Get one for your boss, your mailman, your trash guy, your lawn guy, all those homeless guys that live under I-30. Everyone loves ATM with PLD. Order yours now for 17 easy bi-weekly payments of $24.63 with a small monthly finance charge of 17.88%. Another fine product from PLD Inc.
That's that. I don't even want to look at you, nude. That's nasty.
Me?
Yeah.
As if I had anything to do with this?
Technically, it's your biological parents who made you pretty.
Well, I tell you what.
Yes?
Track them down and let's slap the out of them.
Just because they make pretty children doesn't mean they should be punished.
Yeah, at this point, it does. I should have been aborted. Like most kids their age. When having a baby out of wedlock.
How do you know you were out of wedlock?
Because they weren't married.
Oh.
They were just a pair of crazy college kids.
Hey, you go back home and make a pretty kid? So in the future, they can do spots about him, ass to mouth.
Oh my God, it just hit me. This is why my biological parents will not contact me. They've probably found me. And they are so embarrassed, they went back to whatever trailer they crawled out from underneath in Oklahoma and decided this was better.
Do you hate them?
No, I'm glad I didn't end up in a suck pump. I appreciate that fact.
You mean being aborted or living in Oklahoma?
You choose.
We'll give you the option. You want to live in Oklahoma or be aborted? Ooh.
Man.
It's not Ardmore, is it?
There was no Ardmore in my lineage, as far as I'm aware.
What do you know about your biological parents?
I know that my dad was 5'10". Seeing as how I say I'm 5'10", he was probably 5'8 and a half, 5'9". Looked like me, brown hair, brown eyes, wavy hair. I have like a little bit of biological, just very brief information. I knew that they were both went to college.
Who told you all this?
It was just like a one sheet that my dad gave me years ago that they had given him with the adoption. Not so much an instruction manual, but I would have preferred a little more background as opposed to dad is this tall, weighs this much. Mom is this tall, weighs this much.
I could see them including health problems that run in the family, just so you could be aware of that.
See, they kind of did, but not really. They went back as far as my parents' parents on both sides. But the only thing that really said was one of them had a heart attack at some point. And that was really, there's no real link as far as, like, is there a cancer risk? Is there a serious heart disease risk as far as any sort of hereditary ailments?
So nobody really said anything, so possibly there's nothing there.
Or there's that.
So I guess the only thing that runs in your family is.
Shut up. Please don't.
Okay.
All right, say it.
Dwarfism?
Yeah. I'm not that short.
And you've never had a desire to find them?
I have.
You just don't have enough?
No. Honestly, I got real busy.
Do you think it would hurt your
adoptive parents' feelings?
No, because I've talked to them about it, and they said they would understand and everything that would come along with it. But I even said, even if I found my biological parents, I don't know if I'd necessarily want to meet them. It might just be just simple curiosity to be, what do they look like? What do they do?
So you see them out somewhere? Cool. All right, good to see you. Yeah. Just leave?
And you just not tell them. more of a stalk type situation.
You know, you can actually do internet searches. Could use your picture and then look for other people that look like you in case your dad's on the internet.
That would be interesting.
Do you want me to have somebody try it?
If someone feels so inclined and they don't want to charge anything for it, I'm not one to tell them no.
It's not that hard. Mr. Asmo.
At least I can get something out of this.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the Cowboys?
You know I do.
I didn't see.
5-1!
You just screamed in my ear again.
I know!
Don't.
I'm excited.
All right. Is there audio?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
So they won.
Who'd they play?
They played Seattle in Seattle. Now, Seattle just won the Super Bowl. And they were already arguably one of the best teams in the NFL. So this was a huge task for the Cowboys to go on the road and play in Seattle, which is one of the most difficult places to play on the road. Luckily for the Cowboys, even at their home games this year, they felt like road games, so they had extra practice.
That's because Seattle's one of the loudest,
yes,
right?
One of the two loudest stadiums in all of the NFL. Between them and Kansas City, they keep breaking each other's Guinness World Record for the most decibels.
What was the score?
Final was 30-23.
Good game?
It was a very good game. It started out terrible, like a lot of Cowboys games. Because they started out down 10 because they had a blocked punt that was returned for a touchdown.
The other team would not let our kicker make the field goal.
Well, this was just a punt.
Oh.
So they were down 10-0, but by halftime, they were up 17-0. And then they lulled you into thinking, hey, we have a real shot here. Then our punt return guy can't catch the ball, so he gives it back to them, and then they score within a few plays, and it's tied up at 17, and then it was a game from then on out. In the fourth quarter, the Cowboys are down 23-20, and so far, probably the play of the year, this cut 7. Terrence Williams, wide receiver for the Cowboys out of Baylor, makes a sideline catch as Romo's trying to escape. Cut number 7 in the fourth quarter.
5 minutes to go. Romo.
It's too low. I'm going to have to fix this on the fly. Give me a second. Boom. Damn it. Almost there. Fixed.
We're under 5 minutes to go. Romo still on his feet. Lofts it for Witten. Williams comes in behind him, and that is a catch. What a reception by Williams, who seemingly came out of nowhere.
Romo's still on his feet.
Okay. Yeah, that too. It was one of those plays that was similar to one last week. A blitzer is coming up on Romo's backside and somehow sees him, spins away from him, then jukes another guy coming after him on the run, makes his throw towards the sideline. It's one of those you'd see on like NFL films replay. Like he's catching it over his shoulder, dragging his toes right along the sideline, and he makes the catch. It's phenomenal. Then, just a few plays later, you had DeMarco Murray, our running back. He scored the go-ahead touchdown to go up 27-20. It's cut number 6. Hopefully that's not low.
Second down, back to Murray. Cuts it to the inside, and Murray to the end zone! Touchdown, Dallas!
At that point, Cowboys didn't look back. They added another field goal to go up 30-23, and they put the ice on it, which then opened the doors to the electricity that awaits Cowboys postgame.
Cut 5?
Yeah, let's do cut 5. This is Jason Garrett. This is him addressing the team in the locker room after the game.
Hey, not a lot of words, guys. We talked about it last night, and I told you, really from the bottom of my heart, I'm just proud to be a part of it. To see how you guys work, see how you guys play, see how you guys fight, do it all together, love the game, love each other. It's great stuff. It ain't easy. We talked about mental toughness. Be your best regardless of circumstances. There are some circumstances out there. opening blank. He kept the shoulders back and the eyes forward and just did a hell of a job. It's a hell of a win for our team. I'm going to go back to this, though, guys. It's well done. It's well done. Our expectations are high for ourselves and what we're doing going forward. So let's enjoy this. We'll wear our sweatsuits.
What?
We'll wear our sweatsuits on the plane ride home, and everyone goes crazy. Dez Bryant's so happy he picks Jason Garrett up and starts carrying him around the locker room like, yay.
What's the big deal about...
Usually on the plane ride back, it's suits and ties. Most professional teams do the whole... Some will have a dress code. Leagues do. Teams will have their own sometimes. For the Cowboys, it's usually a business attire, like you're going on a business trip. So suits and ties there, suits
so
and
that's,
ties back.
That's their reward is...
That was one of their rewards. There's no suit and tie on the plane ride home. You can wear your jammies.
It's a hell of a win for our team. I'm going to go back to this, though, guys. It's well done. It's well done. Our expectations are high for ourselves and what we're doing going forward. So let's enjoy this. We'll wear our sweatsuits. Yeah! Right.
Music come from?
It was from DallasCowboys.com.
Oh.
They added it in, making it a little more dramatic.
Everybody got to wear their jam jams on the plane back. Who wants to land at Stuckey's? It sounds like they're going to be excited about it. What happened to the, well, we don't really live in the moment. Didn't Garrett say that last week?
Well, he said that, yeah, the,
this sounds like they're living in the moment.
It does. And even when he said that last week, he's like, you know, we try not to live in the moment, but we do live in the moment because you want to enjoy it. But that means you still got to plan for the next week's game and next step, the process.
But right now, I'm very proud of them.
Yes. Well, we're good.
How about them NFL football Cowboys of the Dallas Athletic football team? Yeah. What is this, other cut.
The other one cut eight is Jason Garrett in his regular electrifying post-game press conference.
Well, obviously there were three big plays in the game that we had to overcome. You know, we had the block punt and then we had the two turnovers that gave them the ball in the red zone. And, you know, I thought our team just responded really well. Obviously, this is a good football team we played, and they're hard to beat here. And we talked a lot about the mental toughness to overcome circumstance, and I thought we did that. That was probably the best thing that we did. You know, it's one win. It's certainly a challenging place to play against an awfully good football team, and there's a lot of things we can build on from this game, and we can learn from it. You know, when you play teams like this, you can't do what we did with the football. You can't have a block punt. You can't turn the ball over twice where they're in the red zone knocking on the door. So we'll learn from those experiences and hopefully get better in that area. But we did a lot of positive things. You've heard me say this a lot, though. You have to learn from the good stuff. You have to learn from the stuff that wasn't good and build on the stuff that was positive in the game and just move forward. And it's a work in progress.
Oh, geez.
It was a good day for our team, though.
We will have to unfold the next chapter of the unexpected, which is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what each football game will hold, short of that there will be them.
A game.
Them.
This coach is so insightful.
It was just a good game for us. We crossed all the Q's and dotted the umlauts. How do you feel? We won the last four games up until this one, so that will make five football game wins.
Yay, the coach can math.
During this pro football game season. All right. You want to break?
Yes.
Radio. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
3:33, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is at KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Subway. Hold on, going on. Let's start off in Dallas. Northbound on the Tolley right at Spring Creek. Southbound on the Tolley right at Spring Creek. Got an 18-wheeler accident there blocking the two left lanes. That has traffic completely stopped all the way back from 121. Apparently, the 18-wheeler lost its load. That's also blocking the northbound lanes of the Tolley right at Spring Creek. That has traffic backed up back from around the bush. Let's go into Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before the 287 Decatur cutoff. Got an accident there blocking pretty much everything. Only one lane getting by right now. Right now, traffic is completely stopped. Back from 121, it's about a 45-minute delay through that. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Tonight, mostly clear skies, an overnight low of 53. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 74. Right now, 64 and 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 the Eagle.
I can't remember if he played the entire Jason Garrett clip or not.
A lot of things we can build on from this game, and we can learn from it. You know,
yeah, I think.
When you play teams like this, you can't do what we did with the football. You can't have a block punt.
You cannot give it away to the other team because then they will F you around, we have found.
That is true, and that was really true yesterday.
We have also found if you want to win the game, you got to go.
to go?
To it.
It's showing up, huh? You can't win if you're not there.
That's actually really wise.
If you don't go, you will certainly lose.
At least if you go to it, there will be a mystery. The positions on the field are occupied by two sides, offensive and defense, and it's important that our team know the difference. Anytime our team scores more points and holds the other team below those points, we almost always win.
Almost always?
There is one word in football that says it all, and that word is, you never know.
That's like a Yogi Berra-ism. That's great.
Was there a video challenge in the game yesterday?
There was. There was on the catch that Terrence Williams had for the Cowboys on the sideline where Romo had to scramble and throw it to him. The gum-chewingest coach in the league, Pete Carroll for the Seahawks, throws out the challenge flag saying, okay. And he was taking a chance because on the replay on TV, everyone in the bar just went crazy because he saw the toes drag and it was a catch and everyone was excited. But Pete Carroll had already thrown his flag out and it ended up costing his team a timeout, which they could have used later.
Who won the challenge?
The Cowboys did.
Oh.
But by the Seahawks losing that challenge, they also lost the timeout.
And I lost that video challenge as the coach of
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
I lost that video challenge because the clip was taken out of context.
I think it's supposed to be. It makes things move faster.
I like Mondays.
I do too, man. I actually had a guy send me a Facebook message last night, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk about the game. I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
And the other team could have done one of three things, but they didn't do it either.
Alfie just got it.
All right, I'm done with my coach idiocy.
Okay. Well, Jason Garrett was right, though. He did say, you know, there's things you can't do, and that's, you know, turn the ball over. Because Cowboys special teams was crap yesterday, outside of kicker Dan Bailey. They had that blocked punt, which was returned for a touchdown. Then Dwayne Harris, our punt returner, muffs a return in the third quarter, giving Seattle the ball, and that led to them scoring and tying the game. And then also we got the snap thing. Miscued between Romo and his center, so that gave them the ball again and got points. Really, what that boils down to is nobody is better at beating the Cowboys than the Cowboys. And I think they finally have grown tired of it. But they still make the mistakes like they did yesterday. The difference is they're like, ah, we'll just overcome them now, which is a massive feat.
Well, nobody in any job, any sport, anywhere is 100%.
It's not.
You're going to trip. You're going to fall. I hate to continue with this analysis.
But?
You're going to make – you have to make mistakes. If we eliminated those, we probably would win more games.
Mm-hmm.
It's our mistakes that cost us.
Yes.
Sometimes I wonder if it's a good idea for us to play.
Over the last 3 years, many Cowboys fans have wondered the same thing.
If we played like this every week, we wouldn't be so inconsistent.
You're speaking so much truth. The difference is the win yesterday on the road in a hostile environment, it legitimizes the team. Like, they are now a contender. When they blew out the Saints at home a couple of weeks ago, that is seen as one of those, hey, the Cowboys are capable of doing that every once in a while. But the game yesterday, it just basically told everyone, okay, we're not the Cowboys of the past 15 years anymore.
Who do they play next?
Next, they play the Giants at home. The next three games are actually at home. Then after that, it gets very tough because five of the next seven are on the road. But other people would contend that this stretch that they've just finished with the Seahawks was the toughest part of their schedule.
And with this next game, I will make a prediction.
Okay.
It could go either way. And if history repeats itself, I should think that we can expect the same thing again. All right. What else you got?
Well, as tough as that is going to be to top, I do have some audio for you, additional audio. Let's try cut number 9. Chloe, I know you know this name. Iggy Azalea, is she a singer?
Yeah, okay. Very popular right now.
Got it. I knew the name, but I wasn't exactly sure. But yeah, she's a singer. She got in a big fight with a paparazzi photographer the other night in the parking lot of a grocery store.
Because paparazzi photographer camera
person.
Man.
Yeah.
And?
Apparently he had been following her around, I guess, all day, just wouldn't leave her alone until finally Iggy just snapped, and she had a friend with her who snapped as well and spit on the dude, and some bystander woman decided to record it.
I got it on video. You assaulted him.
I assaulted him? I spit on him.
Yeah, that's assault.
What is
you got AIDS?
Okay.
You got AIDS now. Maybe you got Ebola.
Okay. I hope you have Ebola. I hope you died.
You wanted to be a celebrity. You wanted to be a celebrity. You wanted to be a celebrity. You
want
to
stop it.
She's going to hit me. She's going to hit me. Look.
Is that a shopping cart?
Yeah, she goes after him in the shopping cart.
You're freaking psycho. Stop.
You're in a store trying to buy eggs. No, that's not the way it works.
I don't have to listen. Both sides have a point. You're a celebrity. You know this is going to happen. You damn well just better get used to it. It's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be some type of limit. There's... To follow somebody around all day. And the other thing is, this guy that's recorded the incident, he doesn't know Iggy.
No.
Makes you think you could talk to her at all.
That's an excellent point. Because I wouldn't have that kind of... I don't just start random conversations with strangers.
That's what they want. You think you're just going to get the red carpet? You're not going to get the red carpet. You want your private life. Then don't be famous.
Shut the
Go live in Nebraska. No paparazzi. You live in L.A. Being a musician doesn't give you the right to sneak into a supermarket and take photographs of somebody buying eggs. That's not a public space. It's private. You're inside a store. You're in a public space. It's not okay.
And next time, I will have...
Why are they even talking to each other? Nobody's listening.
I know. It's really...
She's wrong.
Mm-hmm. He's wrong. He's
actually right, but it's none of his business.
Yeah, this is one of those. This is actually the perfect celebrity paparazzo fight because you hate them both. At the same time, both make excellent points.
Now, isn't the guy that's screaming at her? Isn't he the third party?
The guy is the paparazzi guy.
Oh.
L.A.
being a musician doesn't give you the right to sneak into a supermarket and take photographs of somebody buying eggs.
That's
not a public space. It's private. You're inside a store.
You're in a public space. You're in a public space.
It's not okay.
You're in a public space.
It's not cute.
You're in a public space.
And next time, I will have people.
That's a photographer that keeps repeating?
Yeah.
But dude, you followed. What are you looking for? You followed her around all day. Is does common courtesy not come into play at all with paparazzi, paparazzo, whatever the plural is?
Most of them, it doesn't sound that way. I mean, like you hear here, Iggy is saying, okay, this guy's been following me around all day. He's following me into the grocery store while I buy eggs. And I can imagine after all day, it would get kind of frustrating. And this to me is part of the reason why you'll end up with famous people, like the guy mentioned, either moving out to a ranch in Nebraska, or this is why they have the personal assistant. Here's your shopping list. You go get it, because I don't want to deal with it today.
They have no options. You have to get jaded. You have to get callous to it all and just ignore them.
Yeah, because she's pretty new in this whole deal. So, I mean, she's only been at it for maybe a couple of years, and that's
I have no idea who she is. Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, pop singer.
Iggy Pop?
A pop singer.
Oh.
Inside a store.
You're in a public space. You're in a public space.
It's not okay.
You're in a public space.
It's not cute.
You're in a public space.
And next time, I will have people with me that will do something.
Get bodyguards then.
To remove you. I will.
Get bodyguards. You're rich. Get bodyguards.
Would I know anything that she's done?
She was in a video that's kind of gone viral lately with her and Jennifer Lopez, then with them. Big ol' asses.
Oh, yeah. Russ came in the studio talking about that just the other day.
I know it's been all over Access and all that kind of crap lately.
Did you pull something?
Yeah, that's probably her most popular song. It's called Fancy.
Is Kiss playing this?
Yes, a lot.
First things first, I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
You should want a bad like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
I just pulled up some pictures of her. She got a big butt.
All right, then.
Have you not seen her?
No. Like, although that would explain the reason why she's in the video with J-Lo.
There's a picture of her. I think that's her. Yeah. That's a big butt.
That's not real. That can't be.
Does she have a big butt, Chloe?
I don't recall. I've just seen her face.
She got a big old ass.
I'm looking for another shot. Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah.
She sounds like Rosie Perez.
Yeah, Rosie Perez mixed with like Gwen Stefani.
Why is this popular?
Who knows?
See, it's songs like this that I wish I could time travel and like just play a little snippet for Mozart. Be like, hey, what you think?
Here's what music is going to evolve into.
Mm-hmm. You sure you want to keep on this path?
Thank God I'm deaf.
I think that was Beethoven.
No, I never get it right.
It don't matter. He'd be deaf afterwards.
That sucks. And that's on Hot Rotation now on Kiss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between that song and being all about that bass, I just don't know how I make it through the day. Oh, it's headphones. That's how I make it through.
I don't understand how somebody listens to something. All right, that one's going to be a hit. That one's not. Because there's, first of all, the instrumentation. There's not much there. It's just boom, boom. Who dat? Who dat?
Yeah. It's one of those things that actually I'd be curious to talk to Patrick Davis about that, our operations manager. Because he runs KISS. He's got a bit of insight as far as and decision-making ability as far as what songs get added to KISS.
He doesn't have a music director?
He does. I think it's Billy the Kid.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's still going to have some say. I mean, Billy and Priscilla may come at him, hey, here's this new song. This one, you should try this one. We should add it.
Got bass. You like bass, Patrick? Yeah. Yeah, I like bass.
Yeah, this is, yeah, that bass song's Patrick's favorite.
I don't see Patrick listening to any of this. He's yeah. Family Guy. He's about his mild-mannered, not really timid, just kind of...
Just a good family dude.
Yeah. I don't see him driving around with this blaring.
Although if it was, windows down in the minivan, just bumping.
I'm going to bump the wood panel off the side of this van. All right. Did I play all the Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. We got about a minute. What else you got?
We'll stay with celebrities. And speaking of celebrity, Zach Galifianakis, cut number 11. He was doing a panel at the New York Film Festival the other day for his new film, Birdman. Galifianakis is the bearded guy in the Hangover movies. That's how you know him.
I've never seen him.
I always forget that. He's fairly famous, and he's a great comedian.
Famous guy.
Yeah.
And?
Someone asked him about being a celebrity.
Being a celebrity is shit. You know, it's dumb, and I'm not interested in it. I like to be an actor, and that's it. The blurred lines are, I think, man-made. I think celebrity is a man-made thing. It's not innate in us. We have people telling us, oh, we should pay attention to these people for the wrong reasons. You know, their personal lives and that stuff. I would, I'm just being honest. I would rather just do my work and go home and, you know, watch Lifetime or something. So if that's what you're asking, I don't know if you are, but I just wanted to eat up some time.
Well, what was the answer?
Someone asked him about, I think.
I know the question. He didn't really answer. He just said it.
He just said, he basically said sucks. Being a celebrity is stupid. That's what he said.
Well, you could be an actor, and if you don't like the celebrity status, then, see, that one comes with success.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody knows who you are, then you're not going to get any more jobs.
I think there's a difference, though. There is a distinction.
Because that means you suck.
I think there's a distinction between a famous actor and a celebrity. A celebrity, you can just...
You don't have to do anything. Exactly. You can be a Kardashian exactly. and be a celebrity.
That's right. Like Denzel Washington, famous actor. I do not put him in the pantheon with idiot celebrities. Because he is an actor who does his thing, and then he goes home.
Well, this Zach Galifianakis?
Galifianakis.
Whatever.
And he does that for the most part as well. He does his job. He goes home. It's not like he's, you know, he's not a club guy. He's not running around with Kardashians or anything like that. Outside of his acting gigs, he'll do some comedy here and there, and that's really about it. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, he did something funny with President Obama. He did some interview with him.
Well, like, he had his internet show called Between Two Ferns, where he just, yes. He plays a character, and he just makes these interviews just as awkward as humanly possible. So, yeah, I mean, he does things to entertain, but he's not out there like the Iggy Azalea chick, you know, yeah. Being hounded by paparazzi. It helps that he's not 22, female, and beautiful.
I've never seen him before. I just now pulled up some pictures. He always has the beard, though?
Yes.
One of these, he kind of looks like a young John Goodman with a beard.
I could see that. Much smaller.
Oh, is he not fat? This picture, he looks fat.
No, he's fat. I mean just smaller in stature. Goodman's just a large man overall.
Okay. You don't want to get recognized, get into radio. That's what I like about radio. Of course, I'm an idiot, decided, hey, we're going to video stream as well. One protection that you have in radio is the anonymity. What do I got to do? I got to run video every freaking day.
And have more viewers than actual TV shows.
Well, we got more than Channel 47.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right.
I don't even think people in their control room at 47 watch the shows.
I think they're watching us.
All right. You want a break here?
Yes.
Right. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
403. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas.
Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by LogMeIn.com. Only one major incident out there right now, and it is in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before 287, the Decatur cutoff. Got an accident there, blocking pretty much everything. Only one lane getting by right now. Traffic is completely stopped back from 121. It's about a 45-minute delay through that. Other than that, traffic across the Metroplex is looking pretty decent right now, but if you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. The phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Lennar Homes. Clear tonight, 53 for an overnight low. Then tomorrow, sunny and a high of 74. Right now, 65 and 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1, the Eagle.
I just looked up. Bud Gillette's doing the live, I guess it's a live shot, on CBS 11. He already looks big. And then he takes, like, a couple of steps forward closer to the camera.
Why did he do that?
All of us said at the same time, don't!
Oh. Yeah, for where I'm standing, he's right behind me. It looks 3D.
Yeah, it really was. It was like the three of us were watching a horror movie saying, don't go in there.
I don't know why he wears his shirt collar so tight, because it makes his head look bigger.
It really does, and it can't be comfortable. Because when your neck's that scrunched up, I'm surprised he can breathe.
It looks like his head's about to pop.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Okay.
It's like a zit right before that moment.
Speaking of the Cowboys, I drove past the new headquarters Saturday night.
And?
They must be working on it at night, because really? They had huge floods all along the side of the field.
That's a good sign,
I guess. Or they're just trying to protect all the rocks that they're moving around.
I actually got an email from a guy who's somehow involved with the construction process.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think it's in that two-year window, well, they'll have almost all of it done. And then a little bit longer for when the hotel gets put in.
Oh, I didn't know there was a hotel going in there.
Actually, I didn't either. So I guess maybe that's an add-on thing we hadn't initially heard about.
There's a video of me driving by.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the lights. Okay.
It almost looks like a
Jesus.
Game is going on.
Yeah, it looks like stadium lights. Wow.
And I shot it sideways, but if I turn my phone sideways...
Then it goes vertical.
Why does it do that?
Because it's stupid.
So I couldn't tell if anything was going on. I just saw the lights.
Right.
And because they're facing the street, it's kind of blinding, so you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Supposedly, the guy that emailed me said... They're in the process, they being, I guess, the Cowboys, of ordering things. Ordering materials and getting ready to go.
We got to move these rocks around at night.
Why is it every time somebody starts construction on something, the rocks are always in the wrong place? It doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. I felt like that doing a patio once.
Where do these rocks come from?
Yeah, that was it. I got nothing else.
I got something. It's very small, but it was exciting in the moment.
Okay.
Saturday, late afternoon, we decide, hey, what the hell? Let's go to the fair. So even though it's Texas OU weekend, we were told most of the fans would be gone. They weren't, so traffic was still pretty heavy. However, when we made the turn onto Callum Road, which is on the east side of the fair, as we make the turn... Right before we turned, there was apparently a wreck on the northbound lane. We just missed seeing the wreck. However, once we start pulling up next to it, in between the trees and in between the scattered damaged vehicles, there's a man in a white shirt who's running, and he's running, and then he's tased, and he's on the concrete. It was the sweetest thing I've seen. He just dropped like a rock.
Video?
I didn't have a chance. And I looked for the story... yesterday, looked for the story today. I didn't see anything on it anywhere. There was some sort of wreck. I don't know why. Some guy was either out of one of the vehicles or just running in the street. I don't know. Police said, no, you don't. And Taser got him, dropped him dead cold right in the middle of the street. And then they left the prongs in for a good long while. I never even saw them ever take him out. Because once
can't
he was,
pull them out right away. These things are hot.
they're still smoking. So they dropped the guy in the middle of the street. And then next thing you know, it's Coppapalooza right around that scene. Because every cop wanted a piece of the action just for something to do. You got motorcycle cops flying by. You got
all it's just for one guy?
It was a multi-vehicle accident. And clearly something had happened. Someone radioed something, whatever was going on, that led to the guy getting tased. So everyone's like, ooh, party.
The fans were just insane this weekend. Oh, my God. Everywhere. Just party, 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 party.
Oh, Texas OU fans?
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Who won?
OU did. But they got a hell of a show as they were, some of them leaving the park and they saw that dude just get dropped. Everyone, because people were across the street, they had just left, they were going to get in their cars and like, oh no, this looks more fun. This is the one version of Texas that will win today.
Damn. These state fair games are hard.
They take this stuff seriously. And I texted a cop buddy because I knew he was working out at the fair, but unfortunately he had already left. He was taking people to jail for doing bad things.
Public intox.
They were selling hot merch. Mm. So anyway, he wasn't there because I was trying to find out what happened, and I couldn't just roll the window down and just ask the guy who'd been tased, "What'd you do?" He didn't look too with it.
So you drove right past him?
Yeah, because we were going in the south.
Oh, I would have asked.
I wanted to so bad, but I don't even think he would have heard me because of all the sirens that were still going off. Because it's that slow-moving traffic, and I'm just looking at the guy, and I see the wires that lead from the taser into his body. They're just kind of hanging there. After they tased him in the street, like four officers come over, each grab a limb, pick him up, and take him to the curb, and then sit him down. And then they just stay around him. And he was just sitting there with his head down, just looking defeated, which he was. That was my first live tasing in an actual scenario.
I would have had to say something. Just roll down the window. Are you tased and confused?
Damn it. Now I wish I'd have done that. I'm afraid the officers might have fallen off the curb laughing, though.
Dropping.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready to start news?
Sure.
Okay. Four 16, Dan O'Malley is here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Monday, October 13th, 2014. Birthdays today. Sacha Baron Cohen turns 43. Russ, you know him as Borat. Also, what was the other one? The Dictator. You saw that. You liked that one.
I only saw a couple of scenes of The Dictator. After he slings into that window and his crank is mashed up against it. I've seen enough.
In the midst of the bush. It's really going all out for the craft. Former figure skater Nancy Kerrigan turns 45. Actress and Tones co-star in the new sitcom Bad Judge, Kate Walsh. She turns 47. Kelly Preston, John Travolta's wife, is 52. Marie Osmond, 55. Sammy Hagar is 67. And Desmond Wilson turned 68 today.
Desmond Wilson.
Mm-hmm. From?
Is it Desmond or DeMond?
Oh, I'm sorry, DeMond.
That's why I didn't know who it was. That's DeMond Wilson.
Yeah, that's my bad. DeMond Wilson.
It's Lamont from Sanford and Son.
That is correct. Well, the Texas Health Presbyterian officials say the worker who contracted Ebola was one of 18 employees taking their own tracking their own symptoms, I should say. The female nurse reported a fever on Friday night. Within 90 minutes, she had driven herself to the hospital and was in isolation. The nurse had been caring for Thomas Duncan in the hospital intensive care unit. Duncan died Wednesday morning from Ebola. Officials say she was considered low risk because she'd been in full protective gear each time she was in contact with Duncan. CDC Director Tom Frieden said, "We don't know what occurred in the care of the index patient, the original patient in Dallas, but at some point there was a breach in protocol, and that breach resulted in this infection."
I wonder if she got infected by, because I think they have to wear like three pair of gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're taking them off, somehow maybe there's something on the glove, you know. Eventually, you're going to touch something.
Right.
And I don't understand why they just don't, like, de-louse before you take anything off, get hosed down with something. Otherwise, you're still, there's going to be contamination on whatever hazmat suit you're wearing.
Right. Or, yeah, the gloves as well. Investigators are looking at the protective gear itself. Frieden is launching a federal investigation. But they're looking at the protective gear itself, specifically at how the workers' contaminated equipment, including gowns and masks, are removed as the source of the safety breach. 48 other people are currently being monitored, but so far have shown no sign of infection. And also the CDC director, Mr. Frieden, when he said at some point there was a breach in protocol, the nurses' unions lit his ass up. I saw on the news over the weekend, they had these demonstrations that were taking place in various places around the country. Nurses coming to this nurse's defense saying, you said you don't know what happened, but you just blamed the nurse. Maybe let's not do that until you actually conduct your investigation.
Well, at first blush, it's an accurate statement. There was some type of breach in protocol, because if you were totally protected, you shouldn't have contracted anything.
But the hospital,
the Ebola can't climb through plastic material, whatever it is that you're protecting yourself with. So there was a breach someplace,
you would think. However, the hospital is saying that she followed these steps, according to the CDC.
She touched something.
The other thing that they're pointing out is the CDC is advising against performing high-risk procedures, which apparently were done on Mr. Duncan. One was a respiratory intubation as well as kidney dialysis. So they think it was doing those that may have exposed the nurse to Ebola. And they're now saying, if you got Ebola, don't give them those. It's just too dangerous.
Nothing against Presbyterian Dallas, but I don't think I'd want to go in there for a while.
And the sad thing is you're right. No one's going to want to, because you don't know if they're doing the things that they're supposed to, even though they said that they were. And what was one of the understatements of the century? I heard on the news that this is a situation where it's become clear our hospitals aren't fully prepared to treat Ebola. You're good. You're going to win an award for that.
Well, there are no hospitals ready to treat it, because any vaccine, whatever they have now, is all beta. It's all testing mode.
Yeah, it's all experimental stuff. Hell, even over the weekend, Duncan, who died, his nephew, Josephus, went on Fox 4 and said that, why is the one guy in America that died from Ebola is the black one? The white people that had it were cured. I think according to Steve Eager on Channel 4, the nephew referred to it as conspicuous.
It is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctors, the white ones, whoever it was that was cured,
mm-hmm.
maybe they got a hold of them quicker.
Well, that was the other. That's another layer to it. Is those workers quickly said, hey, I work with Ebola. I feel a little hot today. I might have something. Whereas this guy managed to get on a plane, fly across the Atlantic, go through all these different things before starting showing signs.
Not even sure how long he was exposed to it in, what was he, South Africa?
Liberia.
Wherever.
West Africa.
You don't know how long he was exposed to it.
Right.
And he was working with, helping people with the disease. Why wouldn't you tell somebody before you get on an airplane?
It would make sense.
Well, I don't really have any signs. Well, the incubation period, they're still a little iffy on that. Week, 10 days, something like that. You don't know how far advanced it was when he finally went to the doctor.
Yeah, I think they said when he went to the hospital, either the first or the second time, they wrote down his fever was going at like it was 103. But the other thing I thought was interesting is one of the people that survived apparently did. He responded so well to that experimental drug, whereas someone else who was given the same drug didn't respond. They went to the guy that survived, took some of his blood and stuck it in the other dude, thinking maybe he's magic.
I'm going to guess that didn't help.
I don't think it did. But still, that goes to show that they're willing to try pretty much anything.
Alfie, what do you got?
Nothing yet.
Okay, go ahead then.
Karen and Jay Priest of Palmer, Alaska, got a knock on their door at 3 a.m. Thursday morning. It was an Alaska state trooper who delivered horrible news. Their 29-year-old son, Justin Priest, had died in a car accident in Juneau, Alaska. Karen and Jay started calling relatives to tell them, then drove to Anchorage to tell their other son, Cody. Karen and Jay's last stop was to visit Justin's girlfriend, Julia, to break the news to her. And when they knocked on the door, Justin answered the door. Justin says when his parents saw him, I didn't know why they were yelling and screaming. I was mostly asleep. They're yelling, "Praise Jesus, it's a miracle." Once he figured it out, he called the police to tell them he was, in fact, alive. It turns out it was a different person named Justin Priest that died in the car accident. The trooper who visited Karen and Jay was supposed to ask them if the victim could be their son, but misunderstood and just straight out told them that their son was dead.
I'm sure the parents went from joy to anger pretty quick.
Yup.
Why didn't you tell us you was alive?
Why can't you call your mother?
You can't even call and tell us you're alive?
I'm almost 30.
God, he meant you opening the door.
Hey,
Bubby, you're dead.
No, Mama. But nah. I hate to use this phrase. You would think that there would be some type of protocol. Could we make sure we got the right guy? Driver's license?
Mm-hmm.
Dental records? Something? Instead of just going, yeah, it was Justin in the car.
Yeah.
You're dead?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, start telling anybody that's related to anybody named Justin.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone with the last name Priest, just start calling them all up. Hey, he's dead. My baby? Oh, wait, no, sorry. It's somebody else's baby.
How long had he been at the girlfriend's house?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm guessing. I don't even know.
All right.
22-year-old Jessica Vanessa of Orlando, Florida, used to be a pre-K teacher, then one day she realized she was quite good at twerking, and she started posting short twerking videos on Vine. Her popularity exploded. She's now up to 2 million followers and more than 673 million views. So she quit her teaching job because it was so much more lucrative for her to post her twerking videos.
How do you make money off Vine?
She's making at least six figures thanks to brands paying her to have their stuff, product placed in her videos, and promoters paying for appearances.
You've got network TV shows that don't make that much money.
Yeah.
I got to look into something somewhere. Because you've got people making six figures on YouTube videos. I didn't know anything about Vine.
Yeah, I'd say you'd be better off doing the YouTube route as opposed to Vine. But that's another aspect you can...
Is this chick hot?
Not to me, but she's got a decent body and she can shake her ass doing the twerk things. And for some people, that just really gets them going.
And that's all she posts, her twerking.
No, I actually went to her page to look, and it's some of the twerking, but she also now is doing really their Vine videos. So they're only like, what is it, 6 seconds, Chloe, the video?
6 to 8, something like that.
So you'll get people that'll try to do funny videos in a very short period of time with a bunch of jump cuts. So she has a lot of those as well.
It's funny, they used to cover up jump cuts.
Yeah, now it's
accepted.
It's celebrated.
But a jump cut is where the video doesn't match up. Just like a quick jump. Kind of max headroom-ish. Mm-hmm. The past, you'd cover that up with B-roll.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's too lazy. Look at this. Isn't that avant-garde? That looks kind of f***ing lazy to me.
Yeah, you're right. Or B-roll or some sort of dissolve.
We don't have time now. You have to do all that stuff in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That's all Vine is?
Yes.
We got to come up with the next fad. There's no way to predict. Maybe if you did the thing with your ass and vomit at the same time. Twomiting?
Vorking?
Because I kind of like to see that. A chick twerking and vomit at the same time.
Especially if it was on an unsuspecting guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, girl, get it. Get it. Get it.
Whatever the old days where you could tell when a bitch was going to vomit. All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
4:36. Another check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center, Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Grapevine Mills. A lot going on. Let's start off in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before Highway 287, the Decatur cutoff. Got an accident there blocking everything but one lane. Traffic is completely stopped back from Rosedale Street. It's about an hour delay through it now. Also, Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just after Rippey Street, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from the Fort Worth Mixmaster. And in Farmers Branch, southbound I-35, right at Valley View, got a stalled box truck blocking the right shoulder. That has traffic backed up back from Sandy Lake. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Mostly clear skies tonight, 53 for the low. Tomorrow will be sunny, a high around 74. Right now, it's 65 with 97.1 The Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Help! Help! I'm losing my mind! Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right, good.
Using strikingly open language, a new Vatican report says the church, the Catholic Church, should welcome and appreciate gays and offers a solution for divorced and remarried Catholics who want to receive communion.
There's a new pope, something Francis.
Francis.
No numbers.
He's the first. Francis one.
I'm beginning to wonder about him.
Why is that?
He's embracing the gay community.
He's not embracing, he's just evolving. He's probably trying to bring the church into the 21st century. Because at some point, you're going to lose out. And when you lose out on people being members in your church, what do you lose out on? Money.
What does he care? You think he's going to get a smaller house in the Vatican?
He's actually already diminished the stature of the Pope as far as the lavish lifestyle that's afforded.
Okay, what's he saying now?
At a press conference on Monday to present the report, the Cardinal of the Philippines said Catholic clergy meeting there have largely focused on the impact of poverty, war, and immigration on families. But the newly proposed language on gays and civil marriages represents a pastoral earthquake. That's according to one Vatican journalist. Regarding homosexuals, it went so far as to pose the question whether the church could accept and value their sexual orientation without compromising Catholic doctrine. The Synod said that gay people have gifts and talents to offer the Christian community. The Catholic Catechism calls homosexual acts intrinsically disordered and calls on gays and lesbians to live in chastity. Under Pope Benedict XVI, previous pope, the church had tried to purge men with deep-seated homosexual tendencies from the priesthood. But Pope Francis, while hewing to Catholic teaching, has signaled a gentler tone, famously saying in 2013 about gays and lesbians, who am I to judge? A final report will be issued at the end of the week.
Yeah, he's, unless you're quoting an old quote, he said that before.
Yes.
I don't care. It's surprising to me that any church anywhere would start to embrace the gay community.
Some already have. I mean, you have some churches that are, oh my God, allowing women to be priests or reverend ministers. And that was seen as
that's not
something.
Really biblically considered an abomination. They just said, yeah, chicks don't need to have that job.
Yeah,
homosexuality is considered an abomination.
It is, but it's still the same source, men. In a perfect world, yeah, your faith carries you through. Yes, all the Bible is all the word of God, but
what?
It's not.
No, because you don't know where it came from. But a good portion of it, people can't understand.
Mm-mm.
That's why you have to have a pastor every Sunday translate the Bible for you.
Yeah, here's what it means. It may not mean that. It may mean something else. It may mean something else to somebody else. That's why it can always be broken down and analyzed.
And really, with one book, why you need to have, just think of church as a class. Why you need to have class every week? There's really nothing new that's come out.
Well, because most people haven't read all of it.
But you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
Maybe you really need all the stories to convince somebody, don't screw anybody around.
Yeah, how long does it take to go through everything? You know what I mean? It's like after like 4 years, be like, okay, I got it all.
Yeah, I would think as a pastor, I got nothing else. We've been through this, I don't know how many times. I went through some of the Old Testament. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
You got the basics. Now go do something.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, they may kind of take a week off as far as not having class, but they'll take a week off from doing the introspective, analysis and trying to make your relationship with God better. And they'll jump over to like more of the action sequences of the Bible. It's like, all right, this would be like the fun week. All right, let's talk about Cain and Abel. Ooh, action, murder, intrigue.
Yeah, but most of the action was all Old Testament.
Yeah, but you still had some New Testament action. Most of it was pretty bad for Jesus. But it was there.
Yeah. You would think a kid, the family business, nothing bad would happen to him.
You would think. Although there was action leading up to it. I mean, he did have the part with him walking on the water. That was pretty cool. Water into wine, that's action.
That's great at parties.
Mm-hmm. 2,000 years later, still sweet.
Hey, Centennial's closed.
Anybody know where Jesus is?
Yeah, he's passed out on the couch. Kick him, wake him up.
Have him take that bucket of water and turn it into some more Franzia.
It's the least he could do for always crashing on the couch.
Drunk ass Jesus.
Hundreds of investors who handed over their life savings to a Canadian evangelist who promised to invest it in an African gold mining company will likely never see that money again. Logger turned drug user turned evangelist Lynn Lidstrom convinced his investors that the mining company he founded in Liberia in 2009 would reap a huge return on their money, calling it God's business. 700 believers agreed to give Lindstrom money, adding up to at least $18 million, $16 million U.S., for his company. Lindstrom told investors he had licensed about 8,000 square miles of potentially gold-rich land in Liberia. Initially, it seemed like a well-run company, accomplished geologists, accountants, lawyers, IT professionals, this according to one of his investors. But there were a few important details he failed to mention, like Lindstrom's compensation, which included a $200,000 annual salary and a Hummer. God's business. Lindstrom defended.
Did he lose all the money?
Yes.
Was it all a scam, or was no gold? And
it's under investigation. He's trying to say that they did nothing wrong. It was a legitimate business, and they ran in with government problems in Liberia. He defended his salary, claiming it was below average pay for a president and CEO, and his ownership of the majority of Liberty shares, despite having invested just $60,000 of his own money. In the fall of 2009,
how much was he making when he was a logger?
Ooh, that I don't know.
I'm going to guess loggers don't make a couple hundred thousand a year.
I think you would be correct in that.
So why would you think you deserve a raise because you're running a ministry?
Well, no, this was the president and CEO of the mining company.
Mm-hmm. Who is doing all of this as God's work.
Yes, God's business. Make us all rich. God's what God wants for us.
So we have no clue if there was a gold mine or not.
No. In the fall of 2009, Canadian securities regulators began to investigate the company. Alberta and BC Securities Commissions issued a cease trade order against the company over concerns with the way he raised funds. Lindstrom told the CBC that he could have done a better job communicating, saying, "Did we do anything wrong? Did we do illegal things? Did we do things the wrong way? I would say no."
Sure, there's a lot of questions with really no good answer.
Mm-mm.
Did you say about 700 investors?
Yes. And one of the guys that they talked to in the story, Britton, he said, Dean Britton, I gave him my entire life savings. all.
I'm just trying to divide this out. Okay, you got 18, about 18 million?
Yeah, Canadian.
Let's see, that needs one more zero. Okay, that's divided by 700. I can't be right.
Are you having trouble with the math?
Yeah, even with a calculator, I'm not cooking.
Uh-oh.
Regardless, that's a lot of money per head.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you give somebody your life savings?
That I cannot understand. I never will either.
Well, I'm going to get it back. First of all, if you give somebody all this money and you're expecting this massive return, that in itself is greed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think God's going to be digging your business.
No. And that's the thing that I always find. I always find it so intriguing with money-raising evangelists is they will say, God wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to have these riches. And if you send me $50, I'll send you my book, which will tell you how you can become rich like God.
Or just give us this money and you'll get your investment back tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's supposed to be okay with God that I'm going to make money off his name.
Right.
And that's why you lose it. Whether this is God's vengeance or not, you deserve to lose it. Well, he promised. It's still a gamble. If it was just, and why is it this evangelist in Canada was the only one that knew about the gold mine in Liberia?
It's a great question. I'm even if the company was running right now, the last, I don't know, year or so, probably wouldn't be doing much business considering the whole Ebola outbreak.
Well, I have this email from the Liberian government that said that there's gold on that property.
Oh, no.
And you had 700 people believe in him enough to raise $18 million.
Yeah. And this is a guy that he toured the country, just selling out stadiums as far as doing his ministry, being an evangelist. Now, though, he says he's 63, he's back in Canada, and he's broke and homeless. His business out of cash, and
where's the $18 million?
I guess he spent it.
Well, there's got to be. Okay. It's got to be someplace.
Well, it's.
I hate to be Captain Obvious, but it's either in property or it's. You can't just spend $18 million and go, I'm homeless. Unless he just gambled it away.
I think what may have happened is that he may have actually tried to do this as a legitimate business, and he just ran it so poorly that all the money is gone.
Okay, all these are just a bunch of...
His company is dissolved, his house has been foreclosed on, his wife is divorcing him. He says, I am absolutely flat busted. I'm a vagabond with no money, no credit card, no driver's license, no vehicle, no office building, no house, no boat, no nothing. And not even my own bed to sleep in. Everything gone. But he believes in miracles, and he's eyeing the future. He says, "Look,
I think making $18 million vanish is a miracle."
Well said.
And he keeps rattling off everything he doesn't have. Sounds like an old Roger Miller song.
Yeah.
The only thing he didn't throw in there is, I ain't got no cigarettes.
He said, looking forward to the payday that's coming, and by God's grace, it's going to be a good one. Always full of hope.
I'm still missing out on giving everything that you own away, all your cash. Understand tithing and supporting the church. But thinking that, well, I got this inside deal with this evangelist, and because we're doing God's work, I'm going to get all this money back. No, you're not. How many times do people have to get raped spiritually before you stop going, or before you just realize, maybe the stock market would be a better place. I'll tithe my 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go do charity work. But I'm not giving evangelists any more money than just enough to operate the church.
Right. And to me, there's already a problem. If someone's a TV preacher, in other words, I'm already suspect.
Unless it's somebody like Joel Osteen.
I'm still suspect. I'm sorry. He got on my radar when his wife threw a hissy fit for getting into some sort of altercation, verbal altercation with a flight attendant and being in first class. And not, I think it was her not wanting to go to coach. Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus would have been in coach. I'm pretty sure Jesus would have been happy just to fly in a plane at all.
The only person I trust is Creflo Dollar.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All right. The name's a little squirrely.
A little.
What's line one?
He's calling with a religious lesson.
Yes, Jason.
Well, I was going to make a point for you. You know, going to church once a week.
I don't need your point.
I think it's Osteen's church in Houston that they took over the Staples Center, which is where the Houston Rockets used to play basketball.
Jesus. And?
They sell out.
You buy tickets to go see Osteen?
See? Now you see why I'm a little suspect.
Well, if you buy tickets, maybe you don't have to tithe.
That, I guess, would make sense, but I think I've heard that they have scalpers. I guess if there's like a really cool guest in that day or something, maybe the prices go up. Maybe you can buy them on StubHub.
If that's a way to get people in and spread the gospel, is to make it an event, who cares how they do it? I'd rather buy a ticket than tithe. That's 10%, and I still never figured out if that's before or after taxes.
I'm pretty sure God's going to say that's before taxes. I think he wants the 10% of your gross. He's not interested in your net.
But I got to live on something.
That's right. The other 90%.
90% my ass.
All right. So you get your check. 10% goes to God. He gets his first. He gets his taste. Then you got to give it to the government, whether it's each paycheck or at the end of the year. There's your 38%. Now you're up to 48%. So now you got, 52. See, that's plenty.
What about sales tax, state tax, property tax? It really takes away the fun of making any money. In fact, it makes it more depressing. There's my gross. There's what's left.
And it's especially like so you're probably looking at what was taken out for taxes and stuff and thinking, I remember I used to be excited if I made that in one paycheck.
Looking at how much they take out in taxes. Really? If I showed you one time, it would make you a rotary engine.
I've done some math. I can figure some of it.
Alfie, what was the point the guy was trying to make on the phone?
He was saying that the reason you go to church week after week after week is to develop a relationship with God, a relationship with the church.
Why is it going to a building is going to change my relationship with God?
That's what Martin Luther asked.
I don't know why they contend there has to be a liaison between me and God. If I'm son of God, just like everybody else,
yeah,
I should have some type of direct contact.
Yeah, but I've studied more. I've devoted my life into understanding the works. I know better than you, my son.
I would have a greater respect for churches if you actually went out and did something. All right, this Sunday we're going to go out and we're going to do build some houses for homeless people. Instead of teaching the Word of God, let's go out and act on the Word of God.
Yes. What's the first thing you do when you get into church? You go out to eat. Big old dinner.
You never think about, well, we have to take care of the people that are starving. Yeah, okay. How much longer for this? Because I got a football game and I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and tithed because I don't want God sending the boys after me.
The Holy Mafia, also known as angels. Yo, where's the boss's taste? You got to kick up, right?
At 10% of gross, not after taxes. Unless you want to be wearing concrete wings. At the bottom of the Trinity. Let all the weird stuff just kind of sink in. That's what we do. You don't pay God, Eagles sit at the bottom of the Trinity.
Oh. God says tithe. Oh.
After taxes?
Yep.
That's a good guy.
Oh.
All right, we'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
503, this is KEGL. Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Subway. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before Highway 287, Decatur cutoff. Still got that accident blocking everything but one lane. Traffic's completely stopped back from Rosedale Street. Also in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just after Rippey Street, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Northside Drive. Sticking around in Fort Worth, northbound Easley Bay 20, right at Randall Mill, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from I-30. And in Farmers Branch, south on I-35, right at Valley View, got a stalled-out truck blocking the right shoulder. And as traffic backed up back from Sandy Lake, I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Clear tonight, 53 for an overnight low. Then tomorrow, sunny, 74 for the high. It's 65 right now, and 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
I'm beginning to think I need therapy just because I can't let things go. Story I was telling you during the break of that bunny in my complex.
Okay, yeah, the rabbit.
I'm leaving the complex. I'm still on the road inside our development.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark. I see something in the middle of the road. It's about the size of about a grapefruit. I realize it's a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably 500-600 rabbits in our development.
Wow.
I'll drive home and see them all sitting in the, not all of them, but in my front yard.
See, if it's all of them, I'd be worried. They're planning.
Like it's some type of congregation. They're doing, they're sitting around smoking.
They're just watching the world go by.
So I get out of the car. I go up and I just kind of scoot the bunny with my foot. I didn't want to touch and pick him up. Scoot him towards the edge of the road because he was dead center. He didn't react to me honking, the headlights, anything.
He was just sitting there looking at you?
Yep.
That is so unlike a rabbit. Usually they're just immediately bolt.
And I didn't see any blood around him, so he hadn't been hit. I don't know. He was confused about something.
Clearly.
And I get him far enough to the side of the road. I'm like, all right, he'll go the rest of the way. He'll be all right. I got a liquor store. I come back. I come in the other entrance to my development so I don't have to see him, just in case.
Okay.
Then I sat for almost an hour and a half watching TV. I went, you got to go back and check. Why? Out of all the rabbits, what is one that, why?
Because it was a baby, maybe?
I suppose.
I missed that part. It was a baby?
That's why I said about the size of a grapefruit.
I was gonna be all judgy and be like, no, it's just a rabbit. Come on,
but that's still what it is. And I thought, regardless. All right, let's say I go back and he needs some type of medical treatment. Whatever. Why would I stop and pick up a baby squirrel?
Yeah.
That's why I'm really concerned about. Because you got to put things in perspective.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. I kept watching TV, and that's all I could think about. But I kept telling myself, it's just a rabbit. But it's an animal in pain.
So did you go back?
Yes.
Do you have a new bunny?
No.
What'd you do?
Got a towel, threw it in the car in case I had to pick him up. I go back to that entrance. Nothing. Nothing flat. No blood. Nothing. So obviously he got off the road.
Well, that's good.
But it was still the fact that you got a grown man,
mm-hmm.
54-year-old male, that sat there. I couldn't do anything while I'm watching TV. I'll have some more to drink. I'll forget about him.
It probably all it made you do was think about it more.
Yes.
Jesus. I'm sure the rabbit's fine. I'm sure a coyote did not get it. Or a bird of prey.
As long as he didn't get hit by another. It was just the fact that I was aware of something that was in pain, and I didn't immediately do anything. That pissed me off against myself.
And it's not past tense. You're still mad at yourself for it, clearly.
What is it, Chloe?
Your conscience is clear now, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But why did I have to talk myself into it? Or why couldn't I have just let it go? There's something that's not correct up here.
It may not be that.
What is it?
I can't say it.
Why?
You forbade me.
Oh, is it something kind?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you better not.
And okay, I'll do it this way. I'm not saying it. I'm just reminding you what you told me I'm not allowed to say. I'm not allowed to say, sometimes you're a good dude.
But again, in the bigger picture, you're talking about one bunny out of hundreds in our development.
Which he left on the side of the road.
It was just the fact that he could have been in pain.
Yeah.
Or maybe the rabbit was just kind of stupid. But couldn't, you know, didn't know to get out of the way.
Yeah, bunnies aren't really that hip to cars.
Yeah, they're already not smart, even the adult ones. I've seen them.
And now I'm wasting time on the air talking about it. It was just this internal struggle Saturday night. Just put it out of your head. Don't just watch TV. Eat all this meat that you bought. I finally went, all right, I'm not going to sleep until I go and at least check. Grown man checking on a bunny. I'm a f***ing idiot.
That has nothing to do with your intelligence.
Yeah, I think it does.
No, it doesn't. It just means that you're sensitive.
It means I'm simple.
No, being simple would have immediately going...
Yeah. Being what simple, is it, Alvy?
Like an Of Mice of Men?
Exactly. You being simple, you'd have seen the rabbit on their own, picked it up to pet it, and broken its neck.
Okay.
That's simple. What you did was sensitive.
How dare you?
Man, I didn't say that was good. I'm just saying it. I'm just trying to make a observational.
It really was one of those things. Jekyll and Hyde moments. Go back and you check on that animal. I'd do enough for animals. That animal could be in pain. I didn't do it. At least I got out of the car and tried to get him out of the road.
And now you're
Did you do enough? I think I did. I did more than most people.
Now you're arguing with yourself at night while drinking alcohol and eating meat.
It's like if you don't get up and go do something, then you're truly not an animal person. I think I've done enough. All right, fine. Don't get up. All right, I'll get up.
Some people draw a line at, you know, wild versus domestic animals. Some people can be extremely caring and sensitive for, say, a house cat or a dog, but then they see a wild animal, whatever, even a cute one, and say, it's dead, kill it, just end it. It's a nuisance or whatever.
Yeah, I did the same thing for a squirrel. There was a baby squirrel, backyard, sitting there. I was like, well, maybe the mom will come and get it. But every hour, I go outside, still there.
So what'd you do? Finally hit it with a mower?
No.
Jesus, that's awful.
We took it and bottle fed it for a month, and it came to be almost domesticated.
What happened to it?
And what would expect? So we'd feed it every day, and then finally, he stopped coming back around. It was about 3 months. And
ungrateful little mother.
Yeah. And if we didn't feed him in the morning, he was like he would come down to the door, the back door, and go. It was like, hey, where's my stuff? One time he came into the we had the door, the sliding door open. He came into the house. Was like, hey, where's my nuts? Where's my goldfish? What's up? Brave little.
You were feeding the squirrel goldfish? Oh, you mean the crackers?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I thought you were giving it like squirrel sushi.
No.
Here, I finally put a little bit of rice. Here's your ginger and wasabi.
Yeah, give him some wasabi.
That's always a great joke.
Okay.
You're not, see, this is proof. You're not
I
the only
we,
one.
I tell you, we've wasted too much. Well, first of all, clothes were retarded. And I've wasted, I should have just kept the story to myself because now it sounds like, oh, he's trying to come off as a good guy. I didn't do it. And the other thing I thought, okay, let's say he sort of got hit by a car. Maybe something's broken. Am I going to take him to the emergency vet? For a wild bunny.
I hate the emergency vet.
Oh, am I going to do it? Am I going to let something sit there in pain? Okay, maybe I can just give him a bunch of Advil. I'm playing all this out in my head as I'm going. I finally get up and go back, check on it. It's like, all right, what are you going to do?
Right.
Can I just get there first? I'm really sick of this.
Of?
Me. Alfie, what's line three?
She's calling for you.
Okay. Mm. Yes, April.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, Russ, it's okay to admit that you're a dick with a big heart.
I'm not talking to you. You have to put things, you can't help everything, everyone, and I'm not acting like I do.
No.
But why couldn't I just let that one go?
They're
just a wild bunny.
There could be a number of factors. One could have been the age.
The fact that it was a baby.
Right. Had it been an adult, you probably would have been like, oh, just get off the road and just give it a quick shoosh and then be on your way. I never thought about it again. I think that's a large part of it. But the other part is just you're caring when it comes to animals that are seemingly in need, like the rat that you rescued out of your pool. Because you didn't want to see it suffer and drown. That, and also you sure didn't want it to...
I didn't want it in the leaf trap.
Right.
No, I just couldn't watch something struggle for its life. I'm done with this.
You realize we're streaming.
So?
I'm just saying, you can't hide all those tears.
I'm not crying.
You couldn't what?
I said I'm not crying.
No, before that, what couldn't you watch?
Something struggled for its life.
Okay.
Right now, I could watch you drown.
That I do not doubt.
All right, 516, Dan O'Malley's here with more news.
Thank you, Russ. The U.S. Air Force's mysterious X-37B space plane will return to Earth this week, possibly as early as tomorrow, after 22 months in orbit on a secret mission. The robotic X-37B space plane, also known as the Orbital Test Vehicle, will land at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, where Air Force officials are gearing up for its return. It's racked up...
Super secret.
Yeah.
Super secret mission. Let's tell everybody when it's going to land.
Yeah.
Unmanned?
It is. It's racked up a record-shattering 671 days in space. Basically, it looks like, you know, the drones that we see on the news a lot, like they're military drones. It looks like a cross between one of those and the space shuttle. Since it's unmanned, it's got no, you know, windows for a cockpit because you don't need them. The spacecraft is designed to fly itself autonomously during landings. The Air Force has two of these space planes in its fleet and has been flying them on secret missions since 2010.
But why tell us anything about these things?
I think they eventually just kind of had to on some level. Probably the expense they had to say, hey, this is what this money is going for. We just can't tell you what we're doing.
That's just going to make people more paranoid.
Absolutely.
Do you have unmanned space drones? Why do you ask?
This
people
to me,
are paranoid about drones and just fly over their house. Now you've got drones in outer space.
With NASA emblems. A United States Air Force emblem. Yes, I'm fascinated by this. Because here the government
has
told
you'd be fascinated, but the problem is they're not going to tell you what the mission is, so I'd rather just not know about the X-37B, whatever it is.
Right. And that's in a way I'm kind of bothered by it because I'd rather just not know about it because, yes, I want to know what it is because then it's just imagination running wild. It's like, what's it doing up there? It's just orbiting for all this time?
What's it taking pictures of? Obviously, right. It's recording something, whether it's data or visual images. It's doing something. Now I want to know what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Or is it been orbiting the Earth? Is it taking pictures of Earth or is it taking pictures of space? Is it tracking? Is it?
I don't think it would be taking pictures of space. Otherwise, it would need to be a secret mission.
That's what I was going
to. When you're taking pictures of people, Earth, that's when it needs to be secret because people don't like the Any of the drones.
Or it's taking pictures of space and it's tracking an Earth-killing asteroid that they don't want to tell us about because they know what we can't handle it as a people altogether. Or is it up there? Is it communicating with aliens? Another thing that most of us on this planet cannot deal with.
I don't care because we're probably never going to know. That's why I said I'd rather not even know about the vehicle. But it's funny. Super secret. Oh, by the way, it's going to land in Van Nuys on Friday or wherever it's landing.
Yes, yeah, so if you want to see our super secret space plane.
Now it can go anywhere it wants because the Wright Amendment's been lifted.
Everyone's really excited about that.
I have a story. I know you didn't have a chance to proofread it.
I can probably tell you most of it. Just having read it earlier and just watching the news in general today, today's the day that Wright Amendment's completely gone. Now you've got, I think, Southwest Airlines opened up to 17 new nonstop cities, whereas before you always had to stop in Albuquerque. No matter where you went, Albuquerque.
I know it was just to allow DFW to get a foundation based, the airport.
And not even just a foundation. They had it in place for so long, the Wright Amendment, that DFW became the airport, was the primary one. Then, like, okay, maybe now we can loosen up on this Wright Amendment deal.
I still don't get the purpose of the Wright Amendment. How could you be worried about a small airport, Love Field, taking so much business away from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport that it couldn't survive? Because the Wright Amendment was in place to make sure that DFW Airport survived.
Yeah, it even says it right here. The 1979 amendment, which restricted long-haul flights out of Dallas-Love Field, was enacted to protect the new Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, built jointly by Fort Worth and Dallas. With Delta Airlines announcing in 2004 that it was dropping from 200 flights a day to 20, DFW Airport still needed that protection, they argued. But when members of Congress began to file bills that would add their states to the list of approved destinations out of Love Field, local leaders realized that the time had come to figure out a solution for the future of the Dallas Airport and ultimately the Wright Amendment. In other words, once people saw the opportunity to make more money, government decided, okay, we're fine with that.
And Southwest was able to thrive even with all these restrictions. That company's going to lose its mind.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Herb?
Yes, Herb Kelleher.
I don't know how old he is now.
Old. I didn't see the age on it, but I saw a photo of him today at Love Field. He's greeting people saying, you know, hey, dude, old. Because I still remember even when he was still doing the Southwest commercials. I was like, hey, he still looked good, full of energy. Now he just, have you ever seen an old person in a nursing home where they're just sitting there and they just have that blank look on their face? Usually the one right before death.
Okay.
That's kind of what his face looked like. It was a face. Maybe it was just a bad photo. I'm hoping it was just a bad photo.
But look how long he's been waiting on this.
Yes, this is
the way you described it. He may not even know what's going on.
Man, I hope so. When former House Speaker Jim Wright is asked about the amendment that bears his name, he chuckles and reminds people that all of Congress voted on it, not just him. The amendment outlining the infamous flight restrictions was attached to the Aviation Safety and Noise Abatement Act of 1979. Wright said the members of Congress knew what was necessary to protect the safety and well-being in this part of Texas and to save the investment. It was a somewhat appreciable investment and money and time by the FAA for the development of DFW Airport.
So you've got the Wright Amendment to protect DFW Airport. Southwest Airlines, flying only out of Love Field,
mm-hmm.
who has made more money than they could possibly ever fathom.
Yeah.
American Airlines out of DFW operating in bankruptcy. What don't work here?
This really is, should be kind of a lesson in business here.
Like you've got one airport with no, or one airline with no restrictions, can't make any money, loses money, has to make the pilots take cuts in pay.
Lots of times. Flight attendants as well.
Got another company with all the restrictions, but they're able to make a profit. There's something squirrely about this Wright Amendment. Well, you know, if we didn't have the Wright Amendment, American Airlines may have lost even more money.
I don't know. They lost a lot of money.
I'm just saying the only way to go with the argument is, well, it could have been a lot worse. Well, it could have been, but normally when you've got competition, free trade, things seem to work themselves out.
Yeah, it's healthy. And now you've got, since these restrictions have been lifted, part of the celebration at Love Field was Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson's company, has left DFW and are now going to fly out of Love.
Going to be competitive pricing?
I don't see them necessarily as trying to compete straight up with Southwest as much as they're just trying to compete for flights, period.
Because Southwest knows how to compete. They'll start giving away free hand jobs.
As long as it fits in this little bin, you get a free hand job. Any bigger than that.
You can either enjoy the complimentary nuts or we can play with yours. Things are going to change dramatically, and that's obviously an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Southwest obviously has always been competitive.
Yeah. I was still surprised when I found out, though, that Ford, I forget the reason why, but from Dallas, you won't be able to take a Southwest flight directly to Cancun. You'd have to stop in Houston or Austin or something.
Stop in the ocean.
Yeah, man, no.
Why is it you can't fly to Cancun?
I don't know, but I remember last time I went to Mexico hearing about that. So I was excited about the Wright Amendment going away as opposed to, you know, going on some other airline. I can take Southwest, which I love, going straight to Mexico. Nope, got to make a stop. That's like
what's the reason for the stop?
I said I don't know. But for whatever reason, that's the one thing that is still.
Maybe you can only fly internationally from an international airport. I'm just throwing out guesses.
Maybe that's it. But that is the case. In other large American cities, yeah, you can now fly direct out of Love Field. But if you want to leave the country, you got to go somewhere else first or leave out of DFW.
There again, maybe it's something to do with an international airport.
It's still stupid. All airports are international if given the opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Southwest didn't change their slogan. We fly any place we want to now. Off.
Yeah. On one of the little clever billboards.
Yeah, let's F off to Amsterdam.
All right, we need a break.
Yes.
Let's go.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
5:35, another check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles' Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Howard Johnson. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, just after Rippey Street. Got an accident there. It's now in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Northside Drive. Also in Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before Highway 287 in Decatur. Cut off. Got an accident there blocking everything but that one lane. Traffic is completely stopped still back from Rosedale Street. Still about an hour delay through it. Still in Fort Worth, northbound East Loop 820, right at Randall Mill. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from I-30. And finally, in Farmers Branch, southbound I-35, right at Valley View, got a stalled-out truck with a trailer attached to it blocking the right shoulder. That has traffic backed up back from the bush. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Howard Johnson. Clear tonight, 53 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 74. Right now, 64. The 97.1, the Eagles.
Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Oh, and part of the argument I was having with myself is I'm going back, finally decided to check on the bunny that was in the road. I said, all right. You realize you go back and that thing splattered in the middle of the road. This is all on you, Slick.
Oh, God.
Well, got to be a man and go look.
Uh-uh.
All right. It's all an internal conversation. I just couldn't let it go.
Had that thing been flat, I'd...
I probably would have had a breakdown.
I believe that.
Well, you did something. You pushed it out of the road. You did as much as you
I didn't push it as far as I could have.
And
then I come back home, and then I bitch at myself for an hour or so. What is it, Dan?
I was just saying, Chloe, and if Russ had gone back, seeing that it was dead, he's going to blame himself because he knows he could have just picked it up and taken it inside the house and taken it to the vet the next morning, something like that. Because if he'd have done that, then it would have been in the road to get squashed by somebody else.
I don't know. I just know the fact that you made an effort to get it off the road.
I truly believe I have something wrong in my head.
What do you think is wrong?
I don't know. You have to put things in perspective. And for whatever reason, I can't seem to do that.
You can,
You're talking
though.
About a wild bunny.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's probably only a month or two old because it was a baby. I go back to the house after trying to get it off the road. And I'm trying to convince myself, there's nothing, you can't do something for all these animals.
The thing is,
though. Well, but it's a baby and it's probably scared. And if it's in pain, nobody's, animals don't understand pain. They just know that they want it to go away. You got to go do something. Dude, if that thing is flat on the road, you own this one, boss.
Oh, my God.
Would you have let it eat at you?
I don't know. See, that's what I was going to say is you actually did, you know, compartmentalize it. You chose not to do anything. What you're struggling with is the guilt that you felt for having done so.
Well, had it still been, I even looked on the side of the road to see if it was still disoriented.
Right.
I took a flashlight, took a towel, I was ready to pick it up. I couldn't find it. I was just happy there was nothing flat and bloody on the road.
That'd have been so ugly. When did this happen again?
Saturday night.
Saturday night. Yeah, it'd have been real weird if it happened last night and on Monday you have to call Patrick, our boss. I can't come in.
I take a personal day. I killed a bunny.
And then Patrick has to come down to my office and say, is he serious? If he's hungover, just have him say so.
I'd rather just say he was hungover. These bunny stories, I'm not falling for this anymore. What's line one, Alfie?
He's got a theory for all this.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, the reason why you feel like this about animals is because of the way that your mother treated you when you were younger. She beat you and everything like that, so therefore you try to take a little bit of compassion for the small man and try to help them out and defend for them. So you can blame it on your mom.
All right, I'm down with that. Thank you.
No, Mark, stop. You don't know. If that may not even
hey,
be...
Hey, you don't know him. Don't call him by his name.
You don't know if that guy knows what he's saying or not.
He's obviously listened to the show long enough to know what my history is with my mom.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it necessarily would
I know what
carry
it's like
over to a rabbit.
I know what it's like to be in pain. I know what it's like to be confused. I have no answer for this. It bothers me. And when I mow my yard, I got to mow it like 2 miles an hour because I'm afraid of, you know, some rabbit or something coming running out of the shrubs and getting caught in the blades. And then I got to hear that noise and I got to live with it. Ugh. Something that most people wouldn't. I get
that. That part I do get because while I've never run anything over on the mower, but then again, I've never had a 20 mile per hour riding mower like you do. But I still remember being in the car one time with my mom and she ran over a squirrel. I still remember it. Underneath the tire that on the side of the car I was on. That's the only time I've ever seen a squirrel. It was meant to be. She was going like 45, and a squirrel started on the other side of the street, ran straight across. Mom didn't even bother slowing down. Just, whew. It was perfect.
She do it on purpose?
She said she didn't see it. And I guess
during the day?
Yeah.
She saw it.
Yeah.
She hates squirrels.
She just didn't slow down. She didn't speed up, but she certainly didn't slow down to try to avoid.
They're fast. He'll get out of the way.
Yeah.
I think I just get out there, and they're like, what do I do? That's the reason they get hit. They just change their mind.
Yeah. My favorite is the one.
Yeah,
that
they all seem to be pretty indecisive.
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, side of the road. Here comes a car. Well, what should I do? It's run in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, there's no social media for squirrels. Otherwise, they go, hey, the road thingy, that's not working for us.
It's called Squishbook. Yeah, my favorite I see squirrels do is, say you see the squirrel on the left side of the street on the curb. Then it runs, makes it about three quarters. Then it hears you coming. Then it stops. As opposed to continuing to the other side, it about faces and goes back from where it came, and that's where it gets nailed.
I don't know. I had to drive slow through my development because even hit the squirrel is going to bother me, even though there are probably thousands of those in our development.
Yeah.
And all of them taunt my dogs.
I would say your dogs would be, they would throw you a parade if you run over a squirrel.
Alfie, what is one?
That's another theory.
Another guy.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about our feelings.
Yep.
Go ahead, Michael.
It's the primal nurturing instinct is why you're feeling like that.
Why is it some people can run over animals and not think about it again?
Well, it's due to the fact that it was a baby. You can get on YouTube and see that there's a lion that killed a mother baboon. And underneath that mother baboon, a baby baboon called out, and that lion took care of it.
All right. Let that be a red flag that we've gone too far. Okay, here's where it comes from, because lions will take care of baboons.
I think that guy's right, though.
What?
All species are kind of hardwired to want to take care of the young, regardless of what other species it is. It's sort of like if a hunter isn't going to kill a baby deer, because it knows that if it kills the baby deer, it lessens its chance to find an animal to hunt a few seasons down the road.
But that's not always the case. It still depends on the animal.
It does.
Although, I got it. We have this natural instinct to take care of the young.
Exactly.
It's just part of our id.
Yeah. As long as it's cute. Because I don't think Chloe is going to want to look after.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Uh-uh.
Mm-mm. I'm just saying.
Baby snake, baby tarantula. You ain't going to make it, Bubba.
Nope. Look at, but all, you just killed Mama and all those little baby spider
legs. You're flat, Jack. Had it been a snake in the middle of the road, mm-mm, I'd have divvied it up. Even though that I should have the same compassion for snakes that I do for bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would help a snake, yeah, but a spider, I don't care if it was pink and the baby with the missing a leg. I don't care.
Yeah, even baby spiders. Cause yeah. I don't. And snakes, that. So obviously we have our answer. I have wasted an hour now, on and off with this.
See, it has.
Why did I have this concern over this bunny? A wild bunny,
mm-hmm,
that couldn't give a rat's ass about me or any other human.
You just like to care for things that are...
I was afraid that somehow was in pain.
Right. You know what? maybe hear me out briefly. This might make you feel better. Maybe it was a ruse. Maybe it was some sort of rabbit trick. He was trying to feign some sort of injury. So then you would take it into your palatial mansion, and it would live in, in this amazing, lavish home for the rest of its life.
And not have to do anything.
Exactly.
So I would name the bunny Mandy.
See, you saw where I was going. You come home, all the lights in the house are on, and it's swimming in the heated pool.
And the beagle's going... Rabbit did it. All right, if it's instinctual, then that makes sense. But it was just something I couldn't shake. You got to go back. What if it's flat and dead? Then you're going to have to suck it up. You're 54. Be a man. Go look at a dead bunny.
And then call them to work the next day. There's no way in hell that you... No. I think someone would have driven by and you would have been a, like... Possibly a crying mess on the side of the road.
I'm burying this bunny.
Does that embarrass you to work with somebody like that?
No, it's exciting.
Does it make you feel more manly than I'm a pussy?
What?
Okay. Go ahead. Look at that. Let me turn some stupid event that happened to me into looking deep inside ourselves.
I know.
What makes us want to help other things? Well, if they're small and cute, we want to do it. The snake, they get split up.
Yeah, you could have just killed Mama, but hundreds of little baby spiders crawling around on Mama's body saying, "Why, Mama, why? What happened?
We're just baby spiders. Why do we have to suffer? Because you're a baby spider. Golf.
I know what we should do. We should go towards that tall human-looking person and say, "What happened? Will you care for us?" And crawl all over his face and give him little spider kisses.
Little tarantula kisses.
You won't get that far.
Maybe we should wait till he goes to sleep.
And then we'll, to make him feel like he's taking care of us, we'll just set up nests in his ears.
Put little webs over his eyeballs so he can see us constantly.
This is our daddy.
Jesus.
It's not bad for not having a spider story.
No kidding.
Yeah, there was a story I threw out. I forgot who pulled it. Some guy that had a cricket growing inside of his ear. I went, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was video that went along with that.
Dude.
It was a two standard story. Guy goes to the doctor's. he goes to the doctor's because of ear pain. He goes to an ENT, and he's got those little cams that he sticks in a guy's ear, and you can see the cricket, like, moving in his ear. He pulled the thing out. It's 2 inches long. It's a massive cricket.
That thing had been growing in his head for, I don't know how fast cricket. Okay, that one was me.
Oh, God, it smells.
How was it surviving? And it was pooping in his ear, too.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, you walk around with cricket in your ear. No, I threw that story out. It's like, I didn't even bother reading any of it. I just saw the snapshot.
Ooh, you're the cricket crap ear dude. I can't date you.
Oh, God. Can you imagine being the doctor, though? He's like, okay, this guy comes in with some ear pain. All right, let me get my fancy camera, stick it in his ear, and I'll probably find some sort of polyp or something. And then I'm like, oh, my God, it's a cricket. It's calling after me.
Boy, you got a cricket in your ear. But if you turned it around and the doctor said, hey, there's a baby bunny in your ear. You know what? Let it stay in there until it's ready to come out.
There's no sense in pushing it.
If he's happy in there. See, again, it goes back to baby and cute and cuddly.
Yep.
There's a bunny living in your ear canal. Well,
let's
you know, all I'm getting is headaches. I can live with that. Maybe he'll leave me some Cadbury eggs. Plus, that explains all the buck-a-buck I've been hearing in my ear. Had the story been that, I probably would have gone ahead and looked at the video.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Oh, it's a little bunny inside his ear. Oh.
Like, yeah, it's like a billion hits on YouTube. Everyone just
Everybody loves
overcome.
It. It's not this disgusting thing of, ugh.
Yeah. It brings peace to the world because it's so cute. We're all unified.
And you let it live inside your ear, even after you knew it was in there. I did. I'm a caretaker of the animals. If they tell me I got a snake in my ear, I'm blowing my head off.
Yep. I'm going to stick my head in the oven, turn on the car in the garage.
I'm going to pull a Dan Lewis, stick my head in the oven, see if this one takes.
And eat a shotgun shell. All at the same time.
What were you reading?
I was about to read. Last Wednesday, a Domino's delivery man, he was picking up pizza and delivering it to Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana. His name is James Gilpin, and the order said to deliver the pizzas to the school's chapel, which was not out of the ordinary, so James didn't think anything of it.
He just knows he ain't getting a tip.
Yeah. Because church people?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
And we've had waiters and waitresses call. Man, if you got a church group coming to the restaurant, you forget about that?
Mm-mm.
Why should I give you more than 10%? Why should I give you anything? I just tithe 10% to my church. All right, then. Well, I tell you what. I'm not going to wait on you. Let's see if Jesus gets your food. You believe in Jesus that much? I'll just go sit over here and watch.
Yeah. Do you think Jesus knows how to enter your meatloaf into the computer?
You think Jesus is going to bring it out to your table?
Is he going
to
refill your drink?
Oh, look at that. You didn't get any service. I guess Jesus hates you. So what happened with the church?
When he got there, he realized the chapel was filled with people. I imagine by realize he saw that, or saw it. He knew.
Look at all these people that aren't going to tip me.
Yeah. He knew something was up when they asked him to go on stage. For the record, I think I would have been really scared at this point. And that's when he found
Damn
out.
Damn it, they think I'm Satan. This is going to be some type of crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
I just work at, was it Domino's?
Actually, I think it was. Yes, Domino's.
Maybe they think we're run by Satan. Come up on stage. You can suck my
Well, that's when he found out that everyone there had chipped in to tip him $1,268. According to Professor...
Okay, now I'm an asshole. And you know all this, and you let me just walk. Okay.
What do you mean, let?
Say all your stuff about church people.
Yeah, let's feed this lie. Yeah. Church people.
They're the worst. Man.
No tipping suckers. So for two pizzas, they tipped him how much?
$1,268.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. According to Professor Jim Lowe, who organized it, the idea was to show the students that when you work together, you can have a huge impact on someone's life. And in this case...
But just one person.
Well, true. And in this case, it did make a huge impact. And it makes sense. Like, you come across, it's the same type of mentality of raising money for charity, raising money for the foundation. It's only going to help a small number of people, but it's a large number of people who come together to make it possible.
And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier with going to church.
Mm-hmm.
How about instead of learning about the Word of God, you go do something?
Mm-hmm. According to James, the delivery driver,
I'd have danced up and down on that stage.
He really needed the money to fix his car and pay off some bills. And he'll also be able to give his two kids a good Christmas.
You could have said thank you without saying damn it every time, though.
Y'all some good mother...
This is the best damn church I've been in. Praise mother Jesus.
Give me that cash.
So he's keeping all the money for himself?
That's, I guess so.
Well, so much for the idea of paying forward.
Well, I'm sure he'll do some sort of good deed later.
Sounds
on.
Sounds like he's keeping all of it.
Well, that was the car. It was his tip.
Well, I think the whole idea, though, is to pay it forward. I know that that wasn't the message they were trying to convey. It was
right.
You can make life-changing things happen if you all come together with one cause.
Yeah.
Are you going to pay this forward?
I got bills.
I got a boogie to pay off. That's what I get for betting against the Cowboys for the last 5 weeks.
Hell yeah. By the way, I still think my sister owes me money. She called me for tips on yesterday's game.
She gambling?
My brother-in-law. They'll occasionally call. They'll be like, okay, what do you think about the game? It's like, what do you mean? What's the spread? She said, Seattle by 8.5. I said, take Cowboys with the points. She said, okay.
She won?
I sent her a text last night. It's like, you owe me money.
Yeah, if you didn't hear it back, she won.
Yeah, oh, I know she has.
Well, no, they didn't cover the spread.
Yes, they did.
But that, you owe me money.
I want my money.
Break here?
Yes.
Let's go. We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
607, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center.
Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Howard Johnson, the Hojo. Let's start off from Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before Highway 287, the Decatur cutoff. That accident there has finally been cleared out. Traffic is still backed up back from Rosedale Street. And also in Fort Worth, northbound East Loop 820, right at Randall Mill. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from I-30. Other than that, traffic's looking pretty good out there. But if you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Howard Johnson. Tonight, mostly clear skies, 53 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and 74 for the high. Right now, it is 65, but 97.1 the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1 the Eagle.
All right, where were we?
Actually, I'll throw you a quick little curveball related to the Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
The nurse from Presby, Nina Pham is her name, they're in the process of cleaning up her apartment in the M Streets in Dallas. But in the process of it, they're worried about her dog.
Who's they?
County commissioners, the CDC, the public in general, and her parents, and probably her as well.
Okay.
At this very moment, this is from Robert Wolonsky over at the Dallas Morning News. At this very moment, Dr. Catherine McManus, the operations manager for Dallas Animal Services, at Nita Pham's duplex to remove Bentley, her year-old Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. For now, that's all McManus can confirm. She's there. What she and other officials cannot answer is a question that has been often asked and addressed since news broke Sunday about the Ebola patient. What will happen to her dog? There's a good reason people want to know. Only 1 week ago, the Spanish government euthanized a dog that belonged to a nurse who also tested positive for Ebola. As The Guardian reported at the time, protesters chanted assassins and scuffled with police in an attempt to stop its demise. Many here have assumed the same will happen to Bentley, who, depending on which study you read, may or may not be at risk of catching and passing along the disease. But Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins has insisted he will do what he can to save the dog. He said, when I met with her parents, they said, this dog is important to her, Judge. Don't let anything happen to the dog. Jenkins went on to say, if that dog has to be the boy in the plastic bubble, we're going to take good care of that dog. And Mayor Mike Rawlings told Tom Benning yesterday that workers are finding a very safe and isolated place for the dog where the animal can be monitored. Rawlings said the city just wants to keep the dog safe.
Well, and it's also not just this one animal. But if they find that Ebola doesn't really affect animals, then you save a lot of pets.
Yeah.
So it's, this is a, we'll call it a precedent that you can look at as some type of study,
yeah,
test.
Absolutely. A test that you would never willingly do your on your own, but hey, in a real world scenario and you have the opportunity to monitor and see what happens, then you have to take advantage of it.
And with Clay Jenkins and Mayor Rawlings, you know, if there's any money that's going to be needed, they're going to cough it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want taxpayers running around in circles. Why are you keeping this dog alive? First of all, I'm Mayor Rawlings. I come closer to putting you down.
Amen. And it's funny that you think that you might be my first.
To me, this is that's an old hat. I like dumping people in the Trinity just because the weirdness makes me laugh.
kill the person, take the dog.
But the Trinity River, the Trinity, it's supposed to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so I'll have three guys dump you in. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah. Why do you think I gave the green light to build that bridge over it?
It made it easier to dump people in it.
Yeah.
And then we'll memorialize you and we'll dump some arugula on you. It's a vegetable.
That was fun.
There's Mayor Rawlings on Fox 4 right now.
The importance of money and how to make it. And that was a great lesson. He understood the importance of the United States, and that's why he served. He had a vision.
Was he talking about Columbus?
I don't think so. Columbus didn't serve the U.S.
Isn't it Columbus Day?
It is.
I knew something was going on when I pulled into the parking lot and it was 40% empty.
Seriously, people?
You guys did. Well, you get here too early, Dan. To really notice.
It's such a fake holiday. It's a fake holiday based on something that really shouldn't even have been celebrated.
All right. And I can say this because I'm Italian.
Uh-huh.
You got this Dago. He's not really sure where he's going.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to prove that the earth isn't flat. Lands someplace, thinks he's someplace else, pisses off a bunch of natives that are already on that land, calls them Indians. Now they're stuck with it. My guess is Indians don't really celebrate Columbus Day.
I wouldn't think so. Especially since probably most of the tribes that he encountered when he got here probably all pretty much died off with the disease that the white man brought.
We have any idea what they were called before Columbus called them Indians?
I don't know, Steve. I really have
I mean,
no
they
idea.
Called themselves something.
They did. It would have been in whatever language they had. So, and you know how explorers are. They're not usually big, especially back then. They weren't big on learning the culture of the time. They were big on saying, "Oh, hi, I'm from Europe, where everything's better. So, therefore, I'm not going to learn anything about you. You, however, are going to put on some clothes. You're going to praise Jesus, and I'm going to teach you to read, and you're going to give me money." And you're going to give me your land, and in exchange, I won't kill you. Deal?
Doesn't that sound f***ing good?
And he made it work. The original wise guy.
Just to jump off the ship and go, Indians! Hey, man, what the f*** you call us? I mean, really, as far as explorers, he wasn't really good.
Well, he was. It was his theory was good. He didn't factor in any variables. He figured we'll just take this sucker all the way around and we'll just hit India. But
not taking into account, there might be, if you came from land, there might be some land in between point A and point B.
Right. Some land that you hadn't accounted for.
Now, in his defense, he didn't really know how far you had to go to get around the world.
Mm-hmm.
He just assumed wherever he landed, Indians! Hey, man! Indians! What time Choctaw bingo over? Ray Stevens playing this weekend?
I haven't heard the streak in so long.
Jump off the ship. Branson!
What time's Yakov gone?
I love that Russian guy.
Oh, my God.
All right. Go ahead with something else.
All right. As the celebrity photo scandal continues with another round of leaked images, a new survey finds that one out of every four young adults have embarrassing photos on their phone. Conducted by the security site MyLife.com, the survey asked just over 1,100 adults aged 18 to 24 if they would be embarrassed if a hacker stole the images. And just over 23% said they would. Their results were higher in the Midwest at 33%.
What is it about people wanting to, you get a phone and it's got a camera built in. Oh, I got to take a picture of my junk. I immediately have to archive pictures of my knees. I must take a picture of my knee.
It's weird how some people are just wired for that. Because even with Polaroids, they would do that.
Well, at least with Polaroids, it stayed in one place. You didn't carry the Polaroids around with you everywhere you went.
Right.
I'm going to take a picture of all my business. I'm going to carry this around with me. Then I'm going to let it get uploaded to the cloud. And then I'm going to call it a sex. Who was it that somebody Lawrence, Jennifer Lawrence, called it a sex crime?
Yep.
I bet there's some people that have been victims of true sex crimes would have issues with her equating the two.
She's not saying it's the same. She's saying it's a form of.
She said it's a sex crime.
a, not the.
To me, a sex crime is like rape, pedophilia, something like that. I don't consider somebody stealing nude pictures and someone being raped the same thing. I wouldn't even put it in the same category.
Well, and that's fair, but there are different levels of sex crimes. I mean, you wouldn't want...
It's not a sex crime, it's theft. You're the one, by taking the pictures, that made it a sex category. It's theft.
It is theft, but it's sex theft. The reason, why were you there looking for those things? You were looking for sex-related images. Like, if it was just photos of, you know, her, you know, taking photos of the grocery store, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't steal them.
But still, if you took those, that's still theft.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you didn't have any clothes on, that's a choice that you made, and somebody stole your pictures.
Right. And just because you take naked photographs doesn't mean that you're asking for it. It's the same thing as saying
you're
not
asking for it, but I would bet if you talk to somebody who had been raped under the category of sex crime,
right,
talk to them, they're going to have issues with Jennifer Lawrence.
If you make the two equal, then yeah, I'm sure they would, but I don't think she was trying to make them equal.
I don't think she differentiated. She said it's a sex crime.
Yeah. I think if she was trying to equate it with rape, she would have said it's the same as.
Well, she tried to make it worse than what it was by calling it a sex crime.
But I think that's a fair assessment on her part.
It's theft.
What about the guy that took the peephole video of Erin Andrews when she was naked in her hotel room? Is that a sex crime?
That's an invasion of privacy.
But for what purpose?
For his own gratification.
Sex. Sexual gratification.
I got a problem with equating somebody looking and somebody abusing another human being physically. I think there's a difference there.
There is. There's a difference between looking and touching. But if you're going to certain steps to look, then who's to say you wouldn't take that next step?
You might, but they didn't. And again, why not just stop taking pictures of your hooterus?
See, that's not fair. That's not a fair thing. You should be able to do what you want to do, and someone should not steal those things.
They shouldn't. That's why I said it's theft.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It's like someone says, hey, I bought a Mercedes and someone stole it. Well, that's what you get for buying a Mercedes.
Yeah, it's a sexy car. It's a sex crime. I was thinking about buying a Mercedes.
Really?
I don't know. I just saw an ad over the weekend. Looks like it's got a bunch of cool stuff in it. I don't know what they cost. And again, it's who makes Mercedes?
Mercedes.
German?
Yes. Germans are good at making cars.
Well, they are. We're just quick to forget.
That's a different German. Different Germany.
No, I think it's the same Germany. It's a different time.
Well, it's different Germans.
It's just funny. We can go through the entire history that we issues we had with Germany. And now, you use it. That's the power of German engineering. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. It's just funny how we scooch away from things.
Yeah. No, yeah, because it's like a stereotypical German thing is, wow, they're just totally organized and really methodical. Yeah, kind of like how they took over Europe a number of times. That's kind of how they did it, organized and methodical.
They're good at rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. Especially after they blow stuff up. You can do the same.
Why are you surprised that I would even look at a Mercedes?
Because you've always been like...
Yeah.
American muscle car, muscle truck, that's been it.
I'm not buying one. It just kind of looked cool in the commercial.
If you like cool stuff, you might want to check out Tesla. Plus, it's American. I know it's electric, but...
It's fast electric.
They're damn cool.
And they just came out with... Is it four-wheel drive?
Yes, exactly.
I'm not buying a Tesla.
But a Mercedes you're considering.
I just for a second, I saw the spot. I went,
what did it have in it that you were so mesmerized
by? Like a widescreen monitor right in front in the middle of the console.
Oh, the new Tesla has basically about 25% bigger than an iPad. That's the entire console right in the center.
Well, I'm not buying a car just because it's got a big media center.
Really?
looks nice. I'm sure Cadillacs, American made.
Mm-hmm.
They probably got nice media center right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Even the new Chrysler 200, the little bit smaller version of the 300, it's got a cool center console thing, display. Also, I think the new Hellcat has a new
Dodge Challenger.
Yeah, the center display, and it goes 204 miles per hour.
Jesus,
I bet if it's 700 horsepower, it goes more than 200.
I'm just throwing it out there.
My guess is Dodge told the government, "Hey, this thing 200, that's it." Really, you got something that probably weighs 3,300 pounds, mm-hmm. 700. Horsepower. You can tell me it only goes 200 miles an hour. That's it. We tried, boss.
Yeah, they didn't tell you that their speed test was at a 21% incline.
See, it's not that fast.
I'm just to the point with my Challenger right now. It's almost at 50,000 miles. That's about the time you want to get rid of it. So there's still some value left in it. But I haven't had any problems. It's funny about cars now. They just run. You never really think about, ooh, is it going to start today? All of them start.
Yeah.
It's the old carbureted engines where you're going, all right, got to pump it. Come on. Then you got to coax it. You got to convince it. Come on. Come on. Damn it. Let's go.
You can do it.
Yeah. You're cranking and you're pumping. It's like beating a car off.
You got to just find that sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Just between cranking it and doing the gas.
You even try sweet tight. Come on, baby. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on, damn it. There you go. You can do it. I don't even have to add the sound effect. You can hear the starter in your head.
Yep.
Where it gets faster and faster. It's going, come on, that's right. All right, you got it. Mm-hmm. Come on, baby.
Almost there.
Then it starts. That's my bitch.
And then what do? You start petting it like it's post-coitus. God, you were so good.
Rubbing
You're so
dash.
Good to me, baby. Oh.
Damn. Aren't you going to let me down?
It's the best moment in time.
It really is. Like, one of the times I'm at my most religious is just praying that the car back in the day would start. Please, God.
But now with electronics and fuel injection, you just, you know, mash a button, it's going to start.
Yeah. Ha-ha, Satan.
Yeah, that first switchover. I was like, so I don't even have to press the, no, don't press the gas. I could just turn the key and it
oh,
will
Oh, when you
start.
Went to fuel injection?
Yeah. It's the difference. I was like, I don't understand. Why does this happen?
By the way, you see something jump in the road, you ain't got to pump the brakes. Well, yeah, I do. Otherwise, they're going to lock up. Mm-mm. ABS. Is it people with flatulence?
That's IBS.
Why would people with flatulence stop my car for me? We'll be back.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
6:34, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coyes in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's get things started off in Arlington eastbound I-30 just after Collins Street. Got an accident there blocking the center lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Cooper Lamar. And in Carrollton, northbound I-35, right at the bush, got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. That has traffic backed up back from 635. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Lennar Homes. Tonight, clear skies, 53 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and 74. Right now, it's 65 and 97.1, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Help! Help! I'm losing my mind! Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
I don't know. I wish they'd bring the Trans Am back.
Why does it have to be brought back? Why don't you just get one?
It's going to be an old one, carbureted engine.
Yeah, but you can update it.
I said I was going to do that with all the TV cars I got now. Because I don't give a flip what it looks like at a car show. Well, that's not an original. Yeah, I know it's not. Like the dash on the General Lee I've got. That's all digital. I got tired of messing around with all the relays that you can't find in most places that would shut down all the gauges. Relay that probably cost maybe a dollar something back in the 60s.
Right.
Now it's going to be $50, $60.
Oof.
Well, that's not the original General Lee. All right, well, what does yours look like? Oh, that's right. You don't own one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's your car.
I want it to run.
Yeah, you get to do with it what you want. And if you want a convenient General Lee, then by God, have one. I'm not even entirely sure that some of the General Lees that were on the show even had air conditioning. I bet you want that. That's not authentic. Fine, you sweat your ass off. I, however, will be comfortable in my car, and it's got windows, so...
Nobody's ever asked, hey, is that comfortable to ride in? They just look at it and go, hey, it's General Lee. Picture with it?
Sure.
Well, the one in the Dukes of Hazzard didn't have AC. I don't care. They're idiot rednecks running moonshine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't run AC anyway. Yeah. Take away from the horsepower.
You can afford the air conditioning. Therefore, you do. And besides, when people want to take a photo with the car, they want to take it with the car. They don't want to take it with the panel. Ooh, let me get a shot of the dash.
How come the doors aren't welded shut? Because I'm not a dumb f***. You're not supposed to be able to open the doors. I think I can.
Mm-hmm. Why do your doors open? Because my back hurts.
How come you don't climb in the window like the Dukes? Because I'm 54.
And head injuries are a very serious concern. I have enough problem with the doors that open and I'm drunk. Just fathom it when they don't.
I was going to be impressed anyway. Oh, he jumped in through the window.
If I'm jumping into my car's window, it's an emergency.
I still have time to open the door. Plus, you don't want to jump in through the window because you know that door lock is going to get caught right dead center of your hole. There are things that people don't really consider when jumping in windows of cars.
You better make sure that thing's locked.
Well, you don't have to have door locks if the doors are welded shut.
Oh, God.
I still know that little knob sticking up is going right up my hole if I jumped in the window.
All of a sudden, your crack's about to get twice as long. It is amazing how people will just criticize something that is not theirs as if it was. Well, see what I would do. Well, then you go do it and leave me alone.
Although I've looked at 66 Batmobiles, I'm like, all right, you know what? You can get a little bit closer to original and not spend that much money. It's like the parachutes on the back. There's some guys that bought replicas. It's just orange fabric wrapped over pillows, whatever, to make it look like parachutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the Deist chutes like they had on the 66 Batmobile for maybe a couple hundred dollars. You don't even have to buy the chutes. I don't have chutes loaded into mine.
Mm.
But it's the real fabric on the outside that says Deist instead of some orange crap. Oh, it's fluorescent orange.
Some sort of orange pillow that you probably got the idea for on Pinterest.
Like, that's for Quakers.
That part I kind of understand because you're trying to go for something that looks like the original.
Well, it's not cost prohibitive.
And also, too, you have one, so you could talk trash about other people's stuff.
Yeah, I suppose. It's like, who is it, Jerry Lawler?
Yes.
The wrestler?
Mm-hmm.
Just bought a Batmobile replica. The rocket tubes that are on the rear deck, the three.
Mm-hmm.
These are like 6 inches tall. It's supposed to be at least
like
a couple of feet.
Yeah. Yeah, those are like the big organ pipe looking things that stick out behind the seats.
Yeah.
You got midget pipes.
Kind of rockets is that going to shoot out? Oh, I'm Jerry Lawler. Somebody bought a piece of Batmobile.
And here comes the trash talk. And he paid a lot more for his than you did for yours.
I didn't see what he paid for his.
I thought it was like over $100,000.
Really? And you got sawed off rocket launchers? Dude, you got jacked. There was something else that was wrong with it. I forget what it was. Oh, yeah. Old man's driving it. He's older than me.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, look what I bought. Where'd you get it? Canton? Trader's Village?
It's got a Volkswagen engine in it.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that didn't have the money that were building 66 replicas. There was one guy that built it on a Fiero platform.
That's one of my favorites.
How is it you're going to move around at almost a 20-foot long car with a Pontiac Fiero?
Was he going for full size, or was he trying to do
full size? He was just trying to save money on the platform of the car.
Wow.
Well, I got a Fiero. I'll just turn it into a Batmobile. You know, you could go buy a 78 Lincoln that's going to work for probably $500-$600. Mm-hmm. We already got this Fiero. Okay.
Man, you don't want to mess up a Fiero. Fiero's kind of cool in its own regard.
Yeah, in 88.
Yeah.
That one year.
I think it was a couple of years. It's a rear engine.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess they call it mid-engine.
Yes.
Mid-engine Pontiac. I'm white trash, and I wouldn't buy one of those.
I used to work with a guy that had one, and he was so proud of it. That was his baby. And this was 99. So, I mean, that car was easily 15 years old and hadn't been cool in about 14. And he was one of those guys that he would have his rag, so he'd kind of wipe it down, make sure it's pretty.
Probably named it.
I'm sure he did. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, though. But, yeah.
I got to hang on to this. This is a chick repeller. Because even an 87, not really that big of a chick magnet. Like a sports car, but not really. It's got a rear wing. Oh, well, I didn't see that.
Well, I'm sold.
Sorry to piss you off, Bat. All right. What else you got?
I've also got 38-year-old. A man named 38-year-old Paul Mountain of Darwin.
Is that his full name?
Yes.
They call me 38-year-old Paul.
38-year-old Paul Mountain of Darwin, England, was high on amphetamines earlier this year and broke into a family storage shed. In the middle of the break-in, he stopped stealing things and had sex with a teddy bear he found in the shed.
Teddy bear's hot. I always wanted to. Theodore Roosevelt, this close I'm going to get. That's right. I blew a wad into Teddy Ruxpin.
He either cut or poked a hole in the bear, had his way with it.
This guy, seriously, the teddy bear.
Yes.
And blew into it.
And left his DNA behind. We know all this because the police found it and found him. They were able to use that DNA sample to link Paul to the burglary. If he had not finished in the bear, he might have gotten away with it. He just pled guilty to burglary and will be sentenced soon.
So there's no bear crime? There's got to be some law against the teddy bear.
If not, write one. It's one of those laws you think you wouldn't have to ever write, and then that day comes.
And why the teddy bear?
He was high on amphetamines. I don't know if he just. I don't know if he was
thought it was real.
I don't know. I don't think amphetamines you're going to hallucinate. I don't know what makes a person do that to a teddy bear.
Yes, because obviously you just want to break in for something, and all of a sudden you see that teddy bear, and you just can't resist.
Yeah, he's so distracted, he stopped stealing actual things of value and decided to give it to the teddy bear.
You sexy bitch. That's right. Sexy mother. I'm going to teach that teddy bear some pussy control. I don't know how you look at an inanimate object and go, yeah, now's the time. They're lucky they ain't got no full-size G.I. Joes.
Oh, God.
You get one of those with the grips?
Mm-hmm.
That's all day.
That's the real American hero.
Jack me, Joe. Jack me.
You're one of them $6 million man dolls. That came with a car engine that he could lift. What's the matter, Dan?
Nothing.
Look at that bionic eye.
Yeah. Look at my penis to that bionic eye. Yeah, it looks a lot bigger. I'm done. Seriously.
Okay.
Bust a nut on a Cabbage Patch Kid. A Rubik's Cube.
Mm-hmm. Care Bears?
No. That's too effeminate.
Oh, okay.
Connect Four.
The holes?
Yeah.
What was the game with all the flashing lights in the sequence?
Simon.
Yeah, I f*** is Simon. Go ahead.
Okay. A Missouri couple.
Left a load on his Chia Pet.
Speaking of all this, Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty was giving a sermon at church in Louisiana when he decided to launch into the sex talk. He told his congregation how to avoid STDs. He said, biblically correct sex is safe. It's safe. You're not going to get chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS. If a man
How does he define biblically correct?
He does right here.
Oh.
If a man marries a woman and neither of you have it, and you keep your sex between the two of you, you're not going to ever get sexually transmitted diseases.
Fair.
He did allow for the fact that STDs can be spread through blood transfusions, but he added, true or false, man meets woman, marries her, keeps his sex right there, the children come, the chances of them getting a sexually transmitted disease, would you say, is almost zero?
It's exactly zero.
You can say that.
But it doesn't have to be biblically correct sex. You got two gay guys, and they don't have any diseases, and they start pushing the poo. Nobody catches anything.
That is also true.
So what's the duck guy's message here? The whole idea is fidelity.
That part, yes.
That it doesn't matter if it's recognized by the Bible or not. You can have two guys pushing poo if they're both clean when they meet and they never cheat on each other. The poo's always good.
Get in here for the good poo.
This poo is clean. All right.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
655, this is KEGO, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by SiriusXM. Let's get started off in Arlington, eastbound I-30, just after Collins Street. Got an accident there blocking the center lane. Traffic's back to Beck and Cooper Lamar. In Carrollton, northbound I-35, right at the bush, that accident there has been cleared out. Traffic is still backed up back from 635. And a side street accident for you in Keller, 377, right at Tarrant Parkway. Traffic lights there are flashing red in all directions. That has traffic jacked up in the area. Right now, you can purchase tickets to Freakers Ball for as low as $9.71. Supplies are limited, so act now and head to KEGL.com for more info on it. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Farmers Insurance tonight. A low of 53. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine and a high of 50. A high of 74. Right now, 65. The 97.1 Eagle.
PLD Inc., the makers of the million-selling Dando, brings you the latest in Pretty Little Dan gratification. Introducing the Dando Asmo. Experience the pleasure of ATM with the prettiest little rump that ever lived. Yeah. Regular ATM is cumbersome and tiring. Wouldn't you like it if Dan's pretty little mouth was a little closer to his pretty little boo-boo? Well, wish no more. That's right. We folded Dan in half to make ATM with PLD easy as ABC. Enjoy the convenience of a 6-inch gap in between Dan's succulent bubble butt and his soft and feminine lips. The Dando Asmo also features the newest innovation from PLD Inc., the Auto Lube. With the Auto Lube, you can pump Dan's luscious moneymaker until you collapse from exhaustion. The Dando Asmo makes the perfect gift. Get one for your boss, your mailman, your trash guy, your lawn guy, all those homeless guys that live under I-30. Everyone loves ATM with PLD. Order yours now for 17 easy bi-weekly payments of $24.63 with a small monthly finance charge of 17.88%. Another fine product from PLD Inc.
The Russ Martin Show rocks the Metroplex.
Russ Martin Show, afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
What have we got left?
Dando.
Oh, shut up. A Missouri couple is facing legal troubles after their home was infested with an estimated 6,000 venomous spiders.
What kind?
Brown recluse.
Those are worse than tarantulas.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I'm afraid to go into my garage, any of my garages, because I've got paper stored in there, and I know that the brown recluses like to lay their eggs in there.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Yeah, if I had to choose an untouching a spider, it would be a tarantula over a brown recluse. Oh, my God.
What?
He'd rather touch a brown recluse.
Really?
No, a tarantula over a brown recluse.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah, the Torsts bought their Weldon Spring Country Club home, which overlooks a golf course, in October of 2007. But they haven't been able to live in the house for years because of the massive infestation of brown recluse spiders.
Just get a generator, one of those gasoline-powered ones that you're supposed to leave outside. Let it run in the house. Obviously, you get out.
Yeah.
Let it run in the house for about an hour. That'll clear everything out. I don't know what it is about generators. The fumes are just... I use it to clear out my pump house.
Who's going to go into the house and put the generator in there?
Oh, I'd go in there for a second. I think those generators are, the fumes are worse because there's really no exhaust. There's, I don't know. I just know the fumes off of those are toxic, bad, worse than sitting next to a lawnmower.
So much so to where either the bugs die or they would just say, F it, let's move.
Bugs, rats, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure the attic in my pump house is full of dead rats. Because I've run the generator outside or out there inside the pump house because I was scared to go in. Mm-hmm. If something lives after that, I deserve to die.
Yeah, it's evolved to an extent to where it's now the superior species. Yeah, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Susan Torst noticed the spider shortly after she and her husband bought the house. She saw spiders and their webs every day. They were in the mini blinds, the air registers, the pantry ceiling, the fireplace.
Why did you stay in there? I noticed them in all these different places. And you stayed why?
Right. I think as soon as I see one of these in one of those areas, I'm calling in the Air Force.
Unless you didn't really know what a brown recluse was. I don't know what they look like. I just know that I'm scared of all spiders.
Yeah, just assume that all spiders are either Black Widow or brown recluse, that way you just don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Their exoskeletons were falling from the can lights.
God damn.
Yeah, I had a feeling that would get you. Once, when she was showering, she dodged a spider as it fell from the ceiling and washed down her body.
Chloe, you got to calm down, Jack.
According to KMOV, the home has become known to locals simply as the Spider House. Earlier in the week, last week, an exterminator's brightly colored tarp tinted the house as it was pumped full of pesticide. For the tourists, the creepy crawly ordeal has been anything but a day at the circus. In 2008, they sued the home's former owners for failing to disclose that the house was essentially a fancy cave for spiders to breed in. A biologist. Oh, God. A biologist consulted in the suit said the estimated number of spiders on the property was very conservative since the numbers were drawn in the winter when the arachnids are less active.
I don't even like that name.
Mm-mm. Arachnid?
Yep. And I've never seen arachnophobia.
Oh, hell no.
Well, you never saw it either?
No, hell no.
I watched part of the making of it and I almost lost my mind.
It's a great movie.
Here's how they got the spiders to move.
I can't even date bitches named Charlotte.
I know you want to take that one, Dan.
I'm proud of that. That's good. Mm. She was a good spider, Chloe.
I don't care how good she was.
She left positive messages.
That pig would have been okay by himself.
Yeah, there was no reason for it. Yeah. Charlotte.
Damn.
Anyway, since the numbers were drawn in the winter, when the arachnids are less active, brown recluse spider bites are painful and can be very serious depending on how much venom is injected into the bite. According to University of Kansas researcher, the bite is not going to kill you, but it will make you wish you were dead.
They could kill you.
I don't know if they're deadly or not. I've gotten
they can be if they bit you and you leave the bite untreated, then your body will basically just
is
fall
it
apart.
Painful the initial bite?
Yes,
so, I know so what it's like to get hit by a hornet.
Mm-hmm.
You know how small those are?
Yeah,
about maybe that big.
Mm-hmm.
Half inch. That feels like you just backed into an electric fence.
Oof.
I got hit by one of those once when I was trimming the hedges. And I thought I'd backed into something electric. I don't know. There's nothing in the front of the house that I could have done that. But I thought that's what happened. And it was on my calf. And that got like, I don't know, 3 times the size of the initial bite.
I've never been hit by a hornet or anything like that. Closest is a bee.
I have no comparison. I don't think I've ever gotten hit by a wasp or a bee. Hornets, those are f***ed up little f***ers, Jack. That's why when I go out front, if I'm trimming the hedges, I spray all the shrubs with something I got from Home Depot with 65,000 dielectric volts, whatever. It'll knock them dead. They don't even have time to think about anything. Hey, I think I...
Yeah, so it's crazy to think, though, that 6,000 brown recluse spiders might be a conservative estimate.
Well, and there had to be telltale signs when they bought the house.
That's what I thought.
It's when not like they just popped up. Oh, the other people moved out. Now we can come out of the walls.
Yeah, especially when, like the lady said, when you've got their exoskeletons falling out of the lights. Ugh. That's just, ugh.
The home inspector is going to spot some type of, if they can find termites, they can find these brown recluse.
Yeah, especially when there's that many of them. I think it'd be hard not to find them.
Although maybe they don't come out that often. That's why they're called.
Well...
I don't have to say it.
No.
No.
I was talking to Jacob, though, our web guy, mm-hmm. about this last week, and his house is pier and beam, So he knows he's got them, and he knows where they are. He says they are underneath his house. He's seen them.
And he continues to live there.
He does, and I was amazed by that. As I told him, I'm surprised you didn't just burn down the whole farm.
Yeah, what a fool.
Has he seen them?
Yes.
Why does he stay there?
Because they're just, they're natural, they're there, and he's, you know, they don't come out of there, I guess.
Because they're cold.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be some type of danger.
As far as I'm concerned, if there's a recluse on your property, it's dangerous to you. Because right then, it might be underneath the house. At some point, though, it may decide to explore.
Yeah, when it gets, starts getting cold.
Tired of being a recluse. It's time for me to get out and socialize.
Ooh, yeah, I want to be a party spider now. I'm going to go up to the kitchen, get some Molly.
Send some Snapchats.
God, it's a new species of spider. It's the brown Snapchat.
8 legs, 4 pussies. And send in pictures of all 4 of them.
Mm.
I just assume there's a pussy between each pair of legs.
What is wrong with you?
Digging for a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling with the effects of a brown recluse bite.
Do we want to know this?
Probably not.
What's his name? Baden?
Baden.
Go ahead, Baden.
Yes, sir. No, I was just going to let y'all know because I know Chloe's over there just loving this conversation right now, but brown recluses aren't really known for too much on how deadly they are, but the necrosis they cause and the venom will literally leave holes if it goes untreated. So let's say it's 3 hours down the line and you haven't done anything about it. All of a sudden your leg will start burning and you'll start noticing that it starts turning purple. And all of a sudden you just have like 3-inch holes in your body. Start losing limbs, toes, anything.
How big are the recluse spiders?
Honestly, they're actually really small. And that's the problem is like y'all are talking about in the cold, whenever they go up in the house or anything like that, really small, maybe like 1 inch, 1.5 inches. And I mean, just 1 bite, that's all it takes. And it sets in.
And you get holes in your body that don't fill in?
Oh, no, no. I mean, it's permanent. After that, it just like your skin is literally decaying. It just sinks. Mm-hmm.
And Jacob lives on top of these.
Yes.
Sounds like your whole exchange tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds tighter.
It does. It gets more Doc Severinsen-ish when it gets really anxious.
Mm-hmm.
The arms on my hair are now weapons. I mean, the hair. Yeah, you know what I mean.
How many arms does each follicle have, Kenzie?
Bunches.
And the thing with the brown recluse, because they're so small,
mm-hmm.
you know, first of all, tarantulas. These brown spiders, probably, those could really nest in your ear because they're so small.
Yeah. Yeah, because the legs, keep in mind, the legs are very flexible. They just curl up and they can squeeze into, you know, tight spaces.
And they like something warm and moist.
Very much so. And dark, because, of course, they're...
recluse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And with Chloe, you know, his inner ear, there's going to be a lot of room in there.
Yep.
All right, we got to go. You're starting to sound like Halloween sound effects.
He's making that face like he just doesn't feel well either. For more information on the... You can be okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
For more information... No, okay. On the Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites... DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. You can also find and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and maybe some others. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. Nikki Six is up next.
See you guys tomorrow.
Later.
The Metroplex.